Meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Christensen.
Here.
Council President Lubin Vonderhaar.
Present.
Councilmember McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Shear.
Here. Do we have Justin? Let's see him. Okay, if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. The first item is amending the agenda.
I move we amend the agenda to add item 7D under business, consideration to approve resolution R-76-2018, authorizing the agreement for interim civil legal services with White Peterson, Gigray, and Nichols, PA. And what is the adjusted exact?
Adds F, I believe, to, yes.
Okay, and to modify, clarify the purposes of the executive session. So it would read, consider motion to conduct an executive session pursuant to Idaho Code Section 74-206-1B and F for the following purposes. B, to consider the evaluation, dismissal, or disciplining of, or to hear complaints or charges brought against a public officer, employee, staff member, or individual agent. And F, to communicate with legal counsel for the public agency to discuss the legal ramifications of and legal options for pending litigation or controversies not yet being litigated but imminently likely to be litigated. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to make those changes to the agenda. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries, and the reason for this amendment is the city clerk was not notified of the request until actually this morning. So, next item is the consent agenda.
If there are no comments or issues, I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Lubin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that item passes. Community reports and requests. Cuna Rural Fire District levy. Bud Beatty with Cuna Rural Fire District. If you would step to the podium and state your name and address for the record, please.
Bud Beatty, 2390 North Locust Grove, Cuna. Mayor, Councilman, I appreciate this time together with you. As you may or may not know, the fire district has put a levy increase on the November ballot. It would be an increase of approximately $1 million, and I would kind of like to go through it and give you the reasoning for that in the background.
Okay.
Today we have 12 full-time firefighters, 10 to 15 part-time and volunteers. During our shift, we usually have 3 to 4 people because of absences and vacation and training. So that allows us to dispatch one unit as the first out. Right now our district is 110 square miles. In 2006, we responded to 900 calls. In 2017, it was 1,400. Our last bond was in 1996 to build a current station, and that was paid off in 2015. We feel we've provided quality service to our district within the budget that we have at that time. Tomorrow, and you know this as well as I do, the estimated growth projected in our district for 2027 is 48,600 people. By then, we will need another station, an additional 9 personnel to operate that station alone. But where we need to be by 2020, just a year from now, we need to hire 6 firefighters, paramedics. This will allow us to send out a second unit on call at all times. We will have staff of 5 to 6 people at all times. We currently operate under the smallest levy rate. CUNA's rate is $130 per 100,000 of taxable value. To give an example, Star and Middleton is $200 and $214. Meridian is $404. Nampa is $753. And Caldwell is $922. We don't take this lightly, the cost of a taxable event, but we feel that it's necessary. The cost of the levy we're asking for is approximately $96 per year of $100,000 taxable value. Without this additional funding, the district budgetary constraints will hinder our ability to provide our desired level of service. And I would stand for questions.
Okay. Questions for Bud? Yeah, I know that's long been an issue for CUNA Fire is the fact that we only have the one station and it's only staffed and you can only run one call at a time. Luckily, we have the mutual aid and automatic aid agreements that kind of help with that, but it is a delayed response. And obviously, it would be much better if we have two crews ready to go at any time. So
yes, so far on the mutual aid, we are holding our own with Meridian, which is very good, but I don't know for how much longer that will be.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Very good.
Thank you,
Beth. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Next item is a public hearing. Consideration to approve 18-01-A. Appeal and 18-12-DR design review for Keller subdivision number 2, Jace Hellman planner action item. Jace, do you want to present or do you want the applicant to? Or? Okay.
All right. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, planner 2, CUNA Planning Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The project before you this evening, the applicant's proposed 8-4-plex building ranging from approximately 4,000 square feet to 5,700 square feet. On-site, the applicant's proposed 62 parking spaces and 4 handicap accessible parking spaces for a total of 66, or approximately 2 spaces per dwelling unit. Staff would find that proposed parking to be in conformance with CUNA City Code, which does require 1.5 spaces per unit. Per the site plan dated March 16, 2018, the applicants proposed a trash enclosure on the southeast corner of the property and the northwest corner of the property. If overturned, staff would recommend the applicant be conditioned to move the southeastern trash enclosure to the southwest corner of the property so that way it'd be away from the existing residences that are to the east. According to that same landscape plan and design review, all trash enclosures were proposed to be constructed out of vinyl fence. Staff would note that it is the city's preference and J&M Sanitation's preference to have those constructed out of the CMU brick wall with steel gates as well. The subject site is surrounded by a 30-foot wide landscape buffer that was established when the original Kelleher subdivision was developed. Due to the subject site not having frontage on any roadways, there was not a requirement for landscape buffer. Extensive landscaping is proposed along the eastern perimeter fence line between the proposed development and the residences of the east, once again. And there is considerable amount of landscaping throughout the site. Staff would remind the council, the city doesn't typically get involved in the CC&Rs and the matters of the HOA. However, in this instance, the Planning and Zoning Commission did originally table this case to see if there could be an agreement between the proposed project who was proposing to de-annex from the HOA and create their own separate and the current HOA in order to provide an amenity for the proposed project. There was no deal on the horizon or at least for the foreseeable future, so the applicant has indicated that they will remain in the HOA. But they will be creating their own sub-HOA so that current residents are not held financially responsible for the upkeep of the proposed project. So basically, staff would note this application is an appeal of the commission's decision to deny the design review. As an appeal, city council, you folks will consider all materials submitted by staff, meeting minutes from the planning and zoning commission, and public testimony to reach a decision to uphold, conditionally uphold, or overrule the decision rendered by the commission on July 25th. It's important to note that city council should only overrule the commission by a favorable vote of one half plus one of the council. And I'll stand for any questions you guys might have.
Okay, questions for Jace?
No.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Next we'll have the applicant.
Good evening, council members and mayor. My name is Jane Suggs. I work at WH Pacific, and the address is 2141 West Airport Way in Boise. And I'm here representing Kelleher No. 2 Subdivision and Trilogy Development. As noted on your agenda tonight, we're first dealing with the appeal of the design review. This was a decision by the P&Z to deny the design review application that we submitted along with our subdivision application. We appreciate you looking at this as a separate issue, mostly because that was one of the issues on the appeal, was that the P&Z was not able to separate those issues out and made their decision based on zoning, not on design review. In our appeal letter, which you have likely read, we provided a recap of the previous hearing. However, clearly the basis of our appeal is that the P&Z did not provide any reasons for the denial, and that is required in the Local Land Use Planning Act. That's 676519. It requires the P&Z to specify the ordinances and the standards they used in their decision, and they also needed to specify the actions that could be taken to gain approval. So legally, that's sort of how the appeal process works. We're very much requesting that you would uphold our appeal and then also move to approve our design review application. I'm going to give you some of the reasons for that. So we have on the screen a portion of the landscape plan. I don't know if you can make that a little smaller so we can see the entire property. First, I'm going to review the applicable design standards, the requirements, the objectives, and the considerations in Chapter 4. This is Chapter 4 of your zoning regulations that deal with design review. Then our architect, Rob Tebow, with the TAO group, will describe how the building designs and materials meet the design review standards. So if you look in that part of your code, you'll see it's very much specifically laid out. As shown on that landscape plan, we have designed Kelleher No. 2 to meet the site objectives in your design review code. We've minimized the impact of traffic on the adjacent streets. All the traffic will go on arterial streets, which is the best place to put traffic instead of on neighborhood streets. We've provided for safe pedestrian access and use. That's one of the requirements. There are sidewalks to be constructed throughout the project, and we've connected to sidewalks that already exist on Linder and Hubbard Roads. We've designed appropriate and safe vehicle parking. In fact, we've provided more parking than the code requires, but again, that's a zoning requirement. It just says in your design review code to provide safe and reasonable parking. We've used landscaping to minimize the impact on adjacent parcels, and you'll see very specifically that we put quite a bit of effort into landscaping along the eastern boundary because that's adjacent to single-family homes. So we not only added trees, but even came back and added additional trees when we worked with the staff. They said, let's beef that up a little bit and make sure we have some tall columnar trees that will provide a buffer there. And we provided a landscape area that's big enough for trees. We have surrounded the development with 6-foot vinyl fencing, and this was to provide safety for our residents, but also at the request of a neighbor at our neighborhood meeting, our very first neighborhood meeting back in March, I think. We've agreed with the staff to design the enclosures for the dumpsters that meet the city requirements. We've designed the grading and soil stabilization to meet the requirements of the city, and this is requirements of the city engineer, and in fact, again, not because this is a design review, but because this was accompanied by a preliminary final plat, even the construction drawings have been designed, reviewed, and approved by the city engineer. And all the utility services will be located underground. So these are all the things that had to be done for the site review for design review. Now, Rob's going to describe a little bit about the design and materials used for the project, and then I'm going to summarize.
Good evening. Mr. Mayor, council members, thanks for taking the time. Let me talk with you for a moment.
If you would, make sure you state your name and address.
My name is Rob Tebow. I'm with the architect's office, and the address is 499 Main Street, Boise, Idaho.
Thank you.
I'm a partner in this firm, and we have we've worked on hundreds of multifamily developments throughout the Pacific Northwest and beyond, and we've done a lot of them right here in the Treasure Valley. So I'd just like to take a couple minutes to talk about the design review aspects of this project. In a quick summary, there are 8 fourplex buildings for a total of 32 units on a roughly 2-acre site. So the density, which has come up quite a bit in our previous meetings, is about 16 units per acre. Most of the developers that we work with actually shoot for about 24 units per acre. They said it doesn't really pencil out for less than 20 per acre. We, with the developer, were thinking about the community. So sticking with 16 units per acre, we're trying to lessen the impact on the surrounding community as well as ensure that we have adequate parking for the people that are on that site. It's actually slightly less dense than the Crimson Point Villas, which was approved by the city of Cuna. It's over on 10 Mile and Deer Flat Road. Regarding the buildings, these have been designed, as I stated, as fourplexes with 2-bedroom, 2-bath units and 3-bedroom, 2-bath units. And all of the units are roughly 1,000 square feet. That's a typical size for a 2-bedroom or a 3-bedroom unit on most of the projects we work on. However, we do smaller studio-type units and 1-bedrooms down to about 600 square feet, and some larger 3-bedrooms up to 2,000. And this is for multifamily condos and townhomes, so it's a pretty average size. It's a good size for the units. The design itself, starting with the footprint, is sized to fit 4 units in roughly 4,500 to 5,000 square feet. It's a bit larger than the surrounding residential, but it's not tremendously out of scale. It's residential in nature. The height of the buildings is about 29 feet, which adheres to the zoning requirement and also matches most 2-story residential housing. Overall, the massing is that of residential architecture, and it should fit nicely within this neighborhood. The orientation of the buildings is such that there are windows facing all of the public areas of the project itself. This helps add natural light to the units, as well as creating a factor of safety, because all of the units kind of look down on public spaces and they can kind of help police themselves within the development. If we want to speak about the materials, we have the materials up here. I also have a hard copy if you guys would like to pass that around. I don't know what the procedure is with that.
I can see it fine up there.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you.
So these also fit with the zoning ordinance. We're using hardboard siding and trims, lap siding, board and batten finishes. We've got stone accents, architectural grade fiberglass composition roofing shingles. We've tried to break up large facades with stepping the planes of the walls and modulation, as well as changes in the materiality. Regarding the colors and the finishes, they're planned to be high quality finishes. They're earth tones, which also is the city's preference. And it ties in nicely with the surrounding homes over there. It should kind of match that. We have 4 color schemes chosen. So that we can have, it's in an effort to avoid monotony in the development and to give the individual buildings a sense of uniqueness. So in summary, I think that this development should be aesthetically pleasing and a good opportunity for the city of Cuna to afford quality housing to folks who may or may not want to buy a single family house right now, or maybe they can't afford it. So I'll stand for any questions you might have and turn it back over to Jane when I'm done.
Okay. Questions?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rob, and thank you again, Mayor and Council. Again, Jane Suggs from WH Pacific representing Kelleher 2 subdivision. As you know, there are going to be a lot of other aspects of this project that we're going to discuss in the second hearing, and that will be when we talk about things like density, the use of the adjacent park, maybe some more about parking. Ayn can respond to that. Again, we're trying to keep this just about the design review and the appeal of that decision. I do want to summarize that I think we've shown that the PNZ, through our letter and through this presentation, the PNZ did err in their decision to deny the design review application because they did not provide any kind of feedback to us on that, on the design review. And we've also shown how Kelleher number 2 has met or actually exceeded the requirements, objectives, and considerations in your code design review 5-4-6 and as outlined in your staff report for design review. I just stand and respectfully request that you approve our appeal 18-01-A and approve the design review application 18-12-DR for Kelleher number 2, and I can answer questions now too.
Okay. Question? All right.
I do have one question for you, just from a design standpoint. He mentioned these buildings are 29 feet high, going all the way around, it looks like, from the picture, the east side and the south side and the west side. There's a lot of single-story homes that are directly behind that. There are a few, if I can recall just on memory, on the east side. What is that distance then? You said you can plant a couple trees, which it's great you show three trees, but what is that distance to just kind of ensure there's at least a little bit of privacy left over for those single level homes that are now looking up at a 29 foot building as they step out onto their back patio?
Right, and I'm sorry, Council Member Christensen and Mayor, I did not bring my drawing that tells me because, and maybe someone in the audience might know, which ones of those are two-story, because I believe the one on the corner might be a two-story, the northern one that kind of has a longer property boundary, that may be two. I think the one on the south is probably one-story. And the distances, again, I didn't bring a scale drawing, but providing enough distance, especially that center, And I'll explain this a little ways. That center unit was going to be up against the fence, and we were going to run the driveway differently. And then we decided, no, that was exactly what we needed to do, is move the center fourplex into the center of the property to give that more space, more landscaping, and just more space between the two. So the setbacks, I think, on the southern one looks like it might be 20 or 30 feet. So we've got probably 30, maybe up to 40 feet between the southern fourplex and the property, the single family lot to the south. I don't have the scale drawing with me, so but again, trying to provide enough landscaping, and that we are very sensitive about lights, so we've shown lights because we'd be lighting our parking area, but we're very sensitive about where those are located and how they'll have the downward facing lights so that you don't have any spillover. And we'd be happy to do whatever landscaping is necessary along that fence. There'll be a 6-foot fence, or there's already a 6-foot fence there. So, and if anything, there might be a window or two on the side, and we can talk about maybe even that window of that southern unit, I guess, could be made a taller window if that's something that really becomes a problem. But I think there's lots of distance there that won't be too much of a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry I can't give you those exact dimensions. If I can get back to my file, I might be able to find that for you for the next hearing.
All right. Any further questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, this is a public hearing. We actually have two public hearings on the same project. This one happens to be for design review and design review only, so The testimony should be limited to the design of the fourplex building, site landscaping, parking, and basically wood materials and that type of thing in the project. So I realize that may have not been completely clear. So if somebody signed up on the wrong sheet, we will certainly make that change. Did everyone get a chance to sign in on the design review part here that wanted to?
I haven't.
You haven't yet? Okay. If you would, I'll hand this out. And so, in favor, in opposition, and then whether or not you want to testify. And so, yeah, it'll be on that. And then I think we had somebody else. If you want to just take this on back, and I'll let you fill them out back there. And
what is the second hearing on this that we have a chance? Is this
so this is the preliminary and final plat. This one is design review.
Can we testify on both of them?
Mm-hmm.
You can, yes.
Can I take this in also?
Yep, just if you need to sign those. Yeah, that's what I say. If I call your name and it's not the one you wanted to talk about, we can change your name and move it around. Council isn't used to this either. We usually don't get into the design review portion, but since this is an appeal and the other part was denied, that therefore it comes to council with the design review. So. This is what we call the awkward silence.
Anybody else? Come on, you guys.
Actually, I think we're on two pages on those. Bring them back up here and tell me which one you want, then we can kind of keep this going. But did you want to do design review, or did you want to do?
Okay, yeah. So we can peel off the first page and start. Okay.
That's the design review.
Yeah.
What was the other one? So one is design review, and the other one is preliminary and final plat. So actually, the way the subdivision is built and that type of thing. Okay. And I believe that's the one that you have. All right, did everybody get a chance then on design review? All right, very good. So first we have signed up in favor to testify. Thank you. Yes. Oh, that's not mine. I don't know where that came from. Marcellus Clark. Yeah, if you would come up and state your name and address for the record, and then each testimony has 3 minutes. So.
Okay. I'm Marcellus Clark. I live at 396 East Chaparosa Drive. That's in CUNA, in the neighborhood neighboring the subdivision in question. There are a lot of varying different opinions within the community regarding this project and this proposal. A lot of folks don't want it. A lot of folks are kind of mixed on whether they want it or not. I work in the design community. I work for BRS Architects, and I currently have another project in. I'm working with Jace Hellman on it, and I'll be addressing the design review committee next month with it. That spray yourself car wash on the roundabout in town, but having experience in the design community, recognizing that somebody owns that property, and recognizing the rights that that individual has with that property, within being able to develop it within the approved uses and the approved codes, I am not opposed to this project, and I welcome residential development there. On that property, a lot of people have come up with the idea that commercial development would be better, and I really do not want a liquor store or a convenience store ending up on that property. And I recognize that somebody owns that property, and they're going to develop it to the best capital gain that they can. And I believe that this project is one of those projects, the best capital gain that the owner will get out of it. So looking at the two options, I would be in support of this project. And I do recognize one of the main concerns that a lot of people have is that the density that there is with the looking forward to the future of the growth of those of Linder and Hubbard as major streets. So looking at the growth of those two streets as they encroach closer to the buildings is a bit of a concern. Having education within the design community, having urban planning classes and such in higher education, a lot of people are concerned, a lot of residents are concerned that it will drop home values. And in fact, there's a lot more to the equation of whether that'll drop home values or not. And in fact, probably a 32 units apartment complex won't affect home values very much, rather than compared to like a 9,000 unit complex. So it may affect the home values of a few homes within the residence, but it won't affect the community at large. And I believe it's a good project.
It's like a recent
see ya.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Did anybody have any questions for?
No.
Okay. So then in favor testify David M. Burke, Sr.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, ma'am, sirs. Thank you for coming and listening to us tonight. We appreciate your time.
Okay.
David M. Burke, live at 2764 North Matterdale Avenue, Cuna, Idaho. Excuse me, a little dry. I would just like to say that I am in favor of moving Cuna forward and as a community. And he said it very well, and he brought some points up, so I won't bore you with rehashing them and everything else. The proposed plan that they have, I think, is a good one. My opinion is it's just a little bit overcrowded. Even though the plans are within specs, guidelines, ordinance, and everything else, that's fine. But working in a field where you see what happens when you overcrowd people in small spaces and everything, it is not a good outturn. February 2nd of 1980 down in Santa Fe, New Mexico showed us that. Worst prison riot in American history off of overcrowding and civil rights issues and so forth, but overcrowding was the biggest one. So please take a look at the size and everything. That's what we've asked from the beginning, the size of it and everything. Emergency services, customer service, bringing in cable guys, bringing in landscaping vehicles, busing, traffic coming through. Is there an easy in? Is there an easy out? You know, you got buses coming in the morning. Can you get people out at the same time when the buses are in so they can go to work and so forth, so they can drop their children off at daycare and stuff like that? Emergency services, the fire department said it themselves. They're understaffed. But bringing in community living more than commercial, opening up liquor stores, opening up more gas stations. We really need another Pizza Hut, or we need another pizza place to come in and stuff, you know. So I just say, you know, take a look at that and everything and see if that 8 units is really the way to go, and plus the size on it and everything else for privacy issues and so forth, you know. That's one of the big complaints that we have now and has been. We don't want to build animosity. We don't want to build negativity. We want to move forward positively. but we want to do it with enough police, fire, rescue, medical, to do it and do it in a safe manner. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. That's all we had in favor. Was there anybody else that was in favor or that didn't sign up on this one? Okay. So in opposition, we have signed up to testify Mikhail Williams.
Mr. Mayor, Councilman, thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me speak. Start off, there's a reason why Plan Zoning voted 4-1 in our favor, the homeowners. And what the developer and the previous two gentlemen failed to mention, there's a high school that's supposed to be built just to the north of Hubbard on Linder. That's going to increase traffic. Not to mention the fact that my house at 193 East Whitburn, it sits right on the corner of Updale, which where the houses that were shown in that diagram, and we're in direct line of sight of that, a stone throw away. We have enough issues of our own in our own subdivision dealing with middle-aged teenagers coming over there, hanging out overnight, along with the parking on my street and on Updale instead of parking where it's supposed to be, and now you're going to put this apartment building in there. I'm not against CUNA expanding business moving in. I'm against an apartment building being put in there. I'm against that. Now, if they want to build houses, great. They want to put a senior center in, which was the original plan, and these subsequent changes that came about were never conveyed to us, that's great. But the unfortunate thing in our subdivision is that a majority of the people that do not live on Whitburn or Chaparosa Court or Updale, it doesn't affect them. They're either indifferent about it or they just flat out don't care. Those of us that are adjacent to that park, adjacent to Linder, dealing with that, that's our fight. And, you know, it doesn't take higher education, which I'm proud to say I'll have in February completed, to figure out that this plan is a no-go. Even the Plan Zoning Commission agreed to that. And the County Highway District even acknowledges that. And it's been mentioned at the last hearing. And my concern, having a 2-year-old daughter, my neighbor David having a 3-year-old daughter, dealing with the safety aspect of it, God forbid the same situation happens, I mentioned last time, the unfortunate situation happened in Boise on State Street, 3-year-old girl gets stabbed at a birthday party. What's to say that is not going to happen again? Not saying paranoia or anything, but, you know, it happens, unfortunately. I don't want it. We have enough to deal with. And they're just because, as I mentioned in the letter I sent to you, just because they meet the requirements in our law doesn't make it right. And you have to ask yourselves, is this what you want next to your house? Would you want an apartment building next to your house? It doesn't matter how many trees they put up. It's still tearing over those houses. It's still directly on the side of mine, and I can see it plain as day. So that's what I'm asking you to consider. It's because just because the other side that lives away from it, it doesn't affect them. And, oh, so it's good for everybody else? No. That's why there's a staunch opposition for that.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. Thanks. Anybody have any questions for?
No. I don't know if it's wrong to go back and state name and address just for the record, but for the audio recording, we won't know who that is.
He actually did in a minute into it, but go ahead.
Mikhail Williams, 193 East Whitburn Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Doesn't hurt to keep me in line, though. Next, we have Wendy Chapman signed up to testify. Okay. Chris Wainwright. Yeah, if you would state your name and address, please.
Sure. My name is Chris Wainwright. I live at 244 East Whitbeck in the Chaparosa Ridge subdivision. Mr. Mayor, Madam President, members of the council, thank you for this opportunity. I once again want to note what Mr. Williams has already said. Planning and zoning denied this based on density and other issues and concerns that they had, specifically the right turn in and right turn out. The only way ACHD has approved this. There are no other ways to get an entrance into that property. Some of the concerns that we have include privacy. There's a big issue with that. We also have some other concerns. There's barely any space for parking. And granted, it meets all the legalities and ordinances that are required, but they just don't have enough parking. I mean, you can do the math on that. They barely have enough as it is, and if they have people come over, there's no parking allowed on Hubbard. There's no parking allowed on Linder, which leaves our neighborhood. And I'm literally one house over from the park, and I live diagonally off of the back end of Mr. Williams' property. So we see what goes on there. We've had issues with the playground getting destroyed by kids that are too big to be playing on it. We've had the sheriff come out for kids using cigarettes and drugs. These are things we just don't want. And the plans of this for this thing have changed so many times. It's incredible. Developers' representative zone admission, they initially wanted 9 buildings. They wanted 9 fourplexes and figured out that they couldn't get an approval, so they backed it down to 8. And then during the 2 planning and zoning meetings that I've attended, they've had to move the dumpsters because that was one of the concerns we had. They actually put it on the back end of somebody's property. And I've lived here for 10 years. Actually, we've lived in that subdivision come December. It'll be 10 years. We know what the wind's like when we have the winds pick up. We don't want trash blown on our streets. We don't want it blown into somebody's backyard. We don't want to smell it. And that's going to be a big concern. And they have no mitigation for this other than to move the dumpster site. Now they wanted to add trees to take care of some of the privacy concerns, but the trees aren't going to be tall enough. And they won't be tall enough for years. It doesn't solve the problem. It's just a Band-Aid. And we don't want that. If we could get, like, a small tech park, let's get some lawyers. Let's get some architects. We have a brand-new dentist's office that's in the strip mall here at Ridley's. They need spaces. I could see this space being used for that. I would love to see that space used for white-collar professionals to come in because we need that. If there's any questions you want to ask, I will free fill and stand and answer them.
Questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. You made the attorney smile, though, when you said you were a lawyer.
Thank you.
Connie Morrison.
I hope I'm doing the right one where I signed up for, but I'm Connie Morrison, 9565 South Linder Meridian. I live right across the street from this. We've been there almost 50 years. We've seen a lot of traffic. I've seen a lot of kids try to get through there. We're on the northwest corner. We have 2 outlets from our farm, and we can't even get out half the time. Cars have to stop for us to be able to pull out with our horse trailers or even our cars. So having that many more cars there is just not going to work because that high school going in, that other school going down on Hubbard, we've been there a lot of years seeing a lot of kids. I've even went out and helped kids cross the street because they couldn't get their bikes across to make sure that they could get across there. So I think you really have to consider the traffic that it's going to cause on that corner because it's already very bad. Any questions?
Okay, questions?
And thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you
very much. Next, we have Terry Williams. Hey.
Mr. Mayor, council members, my name is Terry Williams. I live at 580 East Sienna Creek in CUNA. I would not... don't need to reiterate what my son and the other gentleman and this lady has said, except for I have seen things like this go up in residential neighborhoods when I used to live in that communist state of California. I can say that because I'm from there. And it destroyed neighborhoods, literally. I remember as a kid, they put up a row of apartments directly across the street from a total residential area, you know, single-family houses. And the place is in shambles. And it didn't take it 5 years. Plus, the other thing that really concerns me also is, they mentioned the parking, that alone, but the one-way in and the one-way out. I cannot imagine what the traffic is going to be. There's only one way in and one way out, and that's on Hubbard. A right turn in both ways. So how is anybody coming from Boise? They're going to have to come down either Linder, which is going to add more traffic, plus, like they said, the high school's going in down there. You talk about a nightmare waiting to happen. It's already crowded, like the one lady said. And now you're going to put how many units in there? Possibly another, at least another 100 vehicles, probably. The average family has, what, 2 vehicles? So if they add a third, which, you know, some families do, I mean, you're just opening up a whole can of worms. And my biggest concern is if that property, if it goes, let's say it gets a little run down, not totally run down, or let's say we have a problem with the type of people that maybe that's all they can afford. I don't know. I'm not pointing my fingers. But what's that going to do to the value of our house? I heard one gentleman say, well, it's only going to, it's not going to affect it that much. Well, okay, if you can come up with a dollar amount and give it back to every homeowner that they're going to, whatever they might lose, well, that might be a different story, but I doubt very seriously that they were going to do that. Plus, I asked the lady the last time we were here, I said, would you move there? Well, no. Why not? Well, I have a house in Boise. These people don't live here. We do. That's why we're here tonight. So, thank you for your time. Any questions?
Okay. Questions? Thank you. And so it didn't get too far off here, but again, I need to remind you that this is about the design review, so we just need to keep it to the design of the buildings, the site landscaping, parking, and that type of thing. Next we have Tim McKay.
Good evening. I'm Tim McKay. I live at 445 East Taper Court in CUNA, and I'm a member of the Homeowners Board, and I'm speaking on their behalf as well. I'm speaking against this project for a couple of reasons, especially in the design review. We have a concern about green space with this apartment complex that hasn't been addressed. It was addressed in some of the previous meetings with the design review. And the issue is we've got a lot of buildings, a lot of parking lot, and nowhere for people to go. So naturally, they're going to go into our neighborhood park. At one point in time, they were going to de-annex from our neighborhood association and be a separate entity. They've decided against that, I think mostly because they realize if they do that, they have no control over us as a homeowners group. They have no control over access to the park. And in addition to that, we've asked for some help with upgrading the park, like putting in lighting and some other things to make it safer, make it more usable. And frankly, those things were ignored. I think one of the things that we asked for, they said we might build a gazebo there if we're not required to build a gazebo on the property itself. And that was the most consideration we got as a homeowners group for using that park. And it stands to reason that the reason why they're building this apartment complex with no green space on that corner is because it butts up against a park. And that, again, we've talked about, you know, access into the design to get into this apartment complex. It's for now, it'll be manageable. But in the future, when that road is widened, we all know that Hubbard is going to get widened eventually. Linder's going to be widened. There's a high school going in down the road. It's going to be very difficult to access that apartment complex. With with traffic coming in and out. But again, our concern is we've tried to work with the developer, and we've really gotten nothing in return, no promises, not even a dollar amount that they would be willing to invest in the park or in our community, which shows me that they're really not invested in the community at all. They want to get as much money as they can out of this investment, which is understandable. It's capitalism if they own it. But as far as a community, the city of Kuna, if we could just see something that they're concerned about, what they're doing to our homeowners association, what they're doing to our subdivision, if they're going to be using our park, but they don't want to pay fees in relation to how many units are going to be per acre here. They want to pay fees based on one unit, so eight units will be assessed fees to pay in to our homeowners association to help pay for the park and the upkeep of the park, when you're going to have 32 different families living there. And we've addressed that, and there's been no consideration for that either. And really what they said is, well, there's a clause in the CCNRs that says we have a final say in that anyway, so there's nothing you can do about it unless we amend the CCNRs.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for? Thank you very much. Let's see, Kevin, David Coker. I probably said that wrong.
No, yeah,
Coker. Oh, all right. Yeah.
Good evening. My name is David Coker. I live at 205 East Withburn Street, Kuna, Idaho, 83634. I've been at my house 2 years now. My wife is from Rupert, Idaho. I originally grew up in Vermont. We like our small towns. I work out at Micron, and we had the choice to live out in Boise, and we chose to live out here in Kuna. We like the small towns and not have to deal with the amount of people. The fact that they want to put in 32 units and the amount of traffic that's going to bring is a really big concern for a lot of us living on that side of the subdivision. There's lots of traffic that comes in, and it's just hard to get around. They want to increase that. Now, I'm sure that they've nailed the design concept on the aesthetic colors and the windows and whatnot, but the location is just wrong for this type of development. That's pretty much all I have to say. I don't like the fact that the amount of people it's going to bring in, what it's going to do to our property values. I did a simple Google search on what a living next to an apartment complex will do to your property value, and they said on average it's going to decrease at 14%. Now, I don't think there's anybody here that want their property to go down 14%.
Okay, thank you. Anybody have any questions for David? Thank you very much. And Helen Wolfgram.
I'm Helene Wolfgram. I live at 1901 West Hubbard Road in Kuna. We have been on that corner for 25 years. When we moved to Kuna, there was 1,100 people out here. Now we're pushing 20, 25, 30. I don't know what the total census is now, but to see what they have proposed on that corner, I would like you guys to come spend an afternoon.
If you would, let's not address the audience. Just
sorry.
The council.
For those that have proposed this, I would like to invite them to spend some time on this at this intersection to see the traffic that we have there now. For a development of these 32 units to go in, they have barely compensated enough parking spaces to accommodate who will live there, let alone who will come to visit. You can't park on Hubbard. You can't park on Linder. It will force people into the subdivision behind them. And there's got to be another type of development that can go in on that corner that will not increase the traffic to the capacity that they're proposing now. We live on the west side of this development. Arbor Ridge has 450 houses. We have a park with soccer fields in it that creates traffic. On the other side of that is a new charter school. To the north of us, the high school is proposed with another 750 houses to the north of the high school. And to create this sort of an environment to add to the traffic that we have at that intersection right now, I just really hate to see it. With only one entrance and one exit, I don't know how this is going to work. Another concern that we have, and I don't know if it's encompassed in what I can testify to tonight, but this is not, the one developer will not maintain all of these units. They can each be purchased. They will, each eight units can be purchased singly by a different property owner, and I don't know how they think they can maintain a group of apartments when there's eight separate owners. I don't get it. So if you can explain that to me, I would love that. Traffic is a main concern. I don't know what else. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Okay. All right, that's all I had to sign up to testify on the design review portion.
Yeah.
You can do it on both if you want. You can testify both times if you want. So, yeah, come on.
Okay.
Is this the sheet for sign up?
Did you sign up on the other one?
I do.
This is this one. What's your name and address?
Joanne Frackman, 124 East Chaparosa Court. Okay. It's near the bottom on the right of the one sheet I signed up on.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for hearing our testimony today. The reason that I'm concerned has to do with several of the issues. One is I live right on the soccer field. It's my backyard, behind my back fence. And I have most of my property to one side of my house, and it's open. It's not fenced in the back. It's just a big tree and a rose garden and fruit tree. And I don't mind the children that come through to play on the soccer field, but when we have the parking issue that's definitely going to happen if this is approved, they're going to be parking on my cul-de-sac because I'm one of the closest places, literally, to that building that they can park. And they're going to cut through my yard to get to through the soccer field to the fence that's near there, that would be near the complex that's being considered. And I don't feel, as a single old lady living there, that it's necessarily the safest thing to do. We also will have an increase in children coming home from school and going on the soccer field to play. The parking, I have some of the easiest parking in our cul-de-sac, I would think, and it's going to make it so that people who come to visit us or live in the homes, we have five homes in this cul-de-sac, won't be able to park in front of their own homes. And I think that needs to be considered because there's no visitor parking as everyone else is. I'm reiterating what they're saying, but we're all trying to get our point across to you, so I apologize for the repetitiveness. I'm very concerned about the one entrance and one exit from that unit as it's currently designed and the way it has to be according to what they have been told. Planning and zoning said over and over in their deliberations when they denied this project that it was a density issue. And having eight units just did not keep in the flavor of our CUNA community. And I agree with that. I built my home in April of 2005. I love CUNA. I mean, I just love it. And I just hate to see the flavor of our community spoiled by a large apartment unit of this size for such a small space and what it will mean. It'll take away our small community feel in the area where we live. I think that's to sum up what the testimony has been about so far tonight. And if you have any questions for me.
Okay, questions?
thank you so much for hearing us.
Yes, thank you. All right, that's all we had signed up now. Did you want to go ahead and rebut?
Thank you, Mayor, and also council members. I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you after the folks have spoken. Let me start off by saying that there was a question about, and if we could put up that landscape plan again so we can see that. I know the clock's kind of there. On the south building, from the fence to the south building is 31 feet, and then the house has about 20 feet behind it, so there's over 50 feet between the south house and the south unit. On the north side, there's 65 feet between the our building, the fourplex, and the fence, and then there's some additional setback on those single-family homes. So there's quite a bit of space between the homes and the fourplexes. So I just want to found my plan. I want to clear that up. I'm going to go over quite a few things because we didn't really stay just with design review, but I will rebut those, and then we'll probably talk about those again. There was some concern about, of course, access into the property. There were lots of people that talked about the right in, right out. This is a full intersection or a full driveway. You can turn left. You can come in from the left. So the reason people are talking about the right in, right out is that in the distant future, and I talked to ACHD, and it's 20-plus years out, there may be a roundabout, as you're seeing those around the valley. There is not a roundabout plan right now. There's not funded roundabout. So right now, that driveway meets all of ACHD's requirements, and it is a full driveway for left turns and right turns. So they have had no problem with the amount of traffic and with the access there. So that hopefully will dispel that concern about people thinking that there will be a problem with getting people in and out of that. We also have built that so that it's easy to get out in and out of with radius turns and is accessible for garbage trucks and emergency vehicles. So easily accessible by all the people who need to get there. Let's see. There was concern with the trash enclosure. Those trash enclosures, as we will build to the city's requirements, have covers over them. The dumpsters have covers. The trash enclosures have covers. They'll be built out of block. They'll have metal gates. We don't expect to have any kind of problem with odors because of the cover or with trash blowing around. There'll be a 6-foot vinyl fence around the entire property, so there shouldn't be any trash or anything leaving the site. We were, as you can see on the landscape plan, right there in the lower right-hand corner, you'll see we have a trash enclosure that has already been moved by our engineer as he's been working through his process to be over on the west side of the property. So, yeah, we thought that that was a really good suggestion by someone saying, why would you put that there? We put it there because it's a straight shot for the garbage guy. Now he has to go around the corner, but he can still pick up. So it'll be take away two parking spaces there, but we'll pick up those two parking spaces right there by where the trash enclosure was. And that's next to the pathway that will take you to the park. Again, we've worked with ACHD, and they're perfectly happy with this type of traffic, with this one entrance and exit. It is a full driveway with entrance and exit, left and right turns. We have provided more parking, in fact, 2 cars per unit, which your requirement is only 1.5 spaces per unit for multifamily, and we think that's plenty of parking. I think everybody assumes that there'll be huge families living here, and I say as a single living in a house with 1 car, there'll be lots of opportunity for 4 people that are single to live. You don't always live in a 1-bedroom apartment. If you can afford a 2-bedroom apartment, you have stuff. So that will definitely be one of those things where I think you'll see a lot of singles and working folks that want to live out here and have these great jobs that are in this area now and will find themselves this is a great place to transition before they purchase a home in CUNA, which is where people want to live. One of the things they talked about is keeping up the properties. One of the things that we are doing is we are a part of the Chaparosa HOA. This property is a part of the Chaparosa HOA. It's part of the neighborhood. I will get into that explanation, and you probably have already read my letters about how that transitioned a little bit. We thought we were going to actually de-annex and actually work out a separate HOA. We are going to have a separate HOA, but we're still going to be a member and pay our fees to the Chaparosa HOA. We're just going to have a little sub-HOA. We've talked to our attorney. And the reason we do that is because this particular property has a parking lot, it has landscaping, and it has building exteriors that will all be managed together. So even though, and the neighbors are right, these we're subdividing this, and we'll talk about that at the plat hearing, people can buy a fourplex unit, but they will pay substantial amount of money so that the management company can maintain the exteriors of the building. So you won't have a guy who decides he won't roof and won't paint or won't keep his irrigation on. It'll all be handled by a management association. So it's almost like a condominium, even though you can buy the property. And that has to do with some of the real estate transfers that typically go with these investment properties. So this is the way you keep these from being run down, is so because you have a management association collecting the fees to maintain all the exteriors of the building. Mr. McKay's right. We've met more than once. Well, we met after the last P&Z hearing. We did talk about opportunities to participate in their homeowners association. They did have a list of things they wanted us to do. It was sort of like, if you do these, you can be in the association, but we're already in the association. And yes, there is nothing wrong with basically saying, yeah, we would do something like possibly a gazebo in the park as a good neighbor. But we don't think that that's an entry level, I mean, an entrance fee to get in. In addition to the fees that we'll pay, we also continue to pay, I think it's $500 a year, just for the maintenance of the buffer that's around. So you'll see the kind of light-colored green. The owner has been paying $500 a year just to maintain that buffer, been paying that to the Chaparosa HOA. Did get behind for a couple of years, but recently received an invoice for several $2,000, I think, and the owner paid. One of the things, one of the neighbors mentioned that he didn't think that this was the right location for this, and I think if you've seen enough of these projects come through, and you have, that this corner of two arterials is exactly the right location for this type of project. Having single-family homes there, probably not the best location. There, because there can be one access into the property, not the best location for commercial. So this is exactly the right type of use for this. Again, we will have our own HOA. I think we dealt with the traffic is not an issue. The experts have said this is not an issue here. Parking, we're providing more than you require. We will have our own HOA in addition to paying to the Chaparosa HOA. And Mr. McKay did mention this, and so I will bring this up. I think I'll bring this up. Excuse me. I am always a proponent of people talking about things that impact them, and welcome that, have neighborhood meetings, especially these hearings, very well attended, and I'm excited about that. I do need to bring up that the CCNRs of the Chaparosa subdivision, so they have CCNRs that each person signs and agrees to whenever they buy a house. In that, it says that the Chaparosa Homeowners Association, the Architectural Control Committee, nor any homeowner in Chaparosa, which is now platted as Kelleher, but it's Chaparosa, have any authority over Lot 8, Block 1, and more specifically, no authority in any future use or architectural controls, including but not limited to land use, zoning, business uses, commercial activities, building style, construction material, or any other rights or decision-making capabilities. Not my favorite thing to bring up, because I believe everybody has a right to talk about what they're doing, but I do believe that each homeowner that speaks from the Chaparosa neighborhood needs to know that they have signed something that says they have relinquished some of their authority over what happens to this particular piece of property. Again, I think that we don't even need to go into that, because I think we've very clearly shown that we meet the design review requirements that are set out in your code, and we've provided more than enough information to show you that. And then we'll go through the next hearing and we'll show you how the plat, the preliminary final plat, actually meets all of your zoning codes, all of your comprehensive plan, and I'll show you why we think that this is the best project for this location, and I'll stand for questions.
Okay, questions?
You brought up ACHD, and I just want to ask about a modification. They recommended a modification to their policy because it doesn't fit their current location policy based on it being only 290 feet east of Linder Road and Hubbard intersections.
Right.
Are you able to speak to that at all? I know that everything was excellent discussions. ACHD loves what they see, and there's no traffic concerns. But I just was wondering if you can speak to that when you hear about planning and zoning and the residents, mm-hmm. then speak to the concern more or less about that 290 foot east.
Right.
Only off of Hubbard Road.
Right. I would like to speak to that. That was a staff-level modification. Didn't have to go to the commissioners for that. If they did not modify that, there would be no access to this property. Because if you met the letter of their code, and they do modifications, especially staff-level modifications, all the time, you probably see those in your staff reports that they do put those modifications. Because if they did meet the letter of that code, there would be no access at all to this property, and they would then be condemning the property, and they can't really do that, or can't afford to do that. So that was something, and that's why they didn't want it to be on Linder Road, because it also did not meet the location, but they thought the Hubbard Road was the best. Oh, and congratulations on getting a light at Hubbard Road. Now he's 69, I've just noticed, coming out here. That was like a week ago, right? So, that is the modification that was required to provide any access to the property. So. We aren't really able to adjust that any at all, because otherwise it would require some way to get through somebody else's property, and we can't do that. So that is a staff-level mod. Does that answer your question at all?
It does. It helps. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Appreciate it. Any further questions? Okay.
I do ask that maybe we'll go through the next hearing, and then you'll make your recommendation on the two items. Is that right? I guess I'm asking because of the way we're splitting the design review and the plat.
What's council's preference?
I feel like it might be simplest to just go ahead and deal with the appeal and design review.
Okay.
And then that way we're not mixing
okay.
the two. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Very good. Thank you. And so it's up to council if we want to close the public hearing, or if you still have questions for people that have testified. We don't want to do that yet, but wherever council feels comfortable. And again, we are just talking about design review and not the preliminary and final plats.
I have no questions.
Okay.
Move we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. And the question is rightfully before council.
Okay, I'll start. surprise. The question is, I understand, so there's several parts to what's going on tonight. So the immediate question before us is, I guess it's twofold. Did the Planning and Zoning Commission err in denying the design review application? And then do we want to approve the design review application? So pursuant to city code, the considerations for design review include site design objectives, which is does the site plan design minimize the impact of traffic on adjacent streets, provide for safe pedestrian access and use, and provide appropriate safe vehicle parking. In terms of landscaping, does the site landscaping minimize the impact on adjacent properties through the proper use of screening with sound and sight buffers? Also for landscaping, are unsightly areas concealed or screened? And then for building design, we look at things including like building mass, the proportions of the buildings, the relationship of openings in the buildings. So I think it was mentioned at some point during the testimony, providing interest through use of features such as porches, covered entries, overhead structures, awnings, changings in the building facade and roof line alignment, so that there's not just like monotonous flat frontage. And then the relationship of the exterior materials, which is why we were shown like the colors and the rocks and that sort of thing. So in terms of purely the design review question, not getting into if the density is too much or anything like that, because that's the next question that we're talking about. So purely in terms of design review, it appears to me that, number one, it seems like Planning and Zoning Commission erred because they did not comply with code in providing specific reasons for denying the application. And then secondly, it does appear to me that the application complies with city code as it relates to design review. So that's the sole question before us at this point. Discussion.
Okay.
You did bring up has to do with landscaping. I'd like to focus on that just for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
When we do talk about these 29-foot tall buildings,
my house is that, like, that's a normal two-story house height. It is.
29 feet.
The height restriction in my...
Because I've lived in two-story houses that were 16 feet tall that were long, tall, two-story foot houses.
That would be challenging just from, like, an 8-foot ceiling perspective and then having room for the floor. But if you say so, I'll just say in my CCNRs and my subdivision, it's a 30-foot height restriction, which is, I think, what city code says. But it's no taller than a normal two-story home, for sure. Anybody from planning and zoning can chime in on any of that?
35.
Is normal for, is up to that for a two-story?
Yeah, that's the height restriction.
Okay.
For any residents. Right.
Total building, okay, yeah.
Okay, so we talk about that then along the fencing there, bordering the neighborhood homes. And then we do talk about the parking and traffic, which a lot of those concerns were brought up, especially with ACHD and it not fitting the requirements initially, which, yes, staff approval came through and said, we'll make an adjustment for you because if not, you can't build it. Well, there's a reason for that, and that with it only being that close to the intersection, it definitely garners some concern from a standpoint of not a density talk, but a location talk when you talk about the traffic side of it. And then you talk about the safe parking. They are absolutely right in that no extra cars are not parking on Hubbard or Linder. They are going straight to that neighborhood and parking along those neighborhood streets if anyone ever wanted to have a get-together or anything along those lines. So from a design standpoint, from that standpoint, I have to agree with planning and zoning from that regard of the parking and landscaping side of it.
Well, I just want to point out that planning and zoning never articulated a reason for their denial, so I don't feel like we can make a say that that was why they said no. But
right,
with regard to the ACHD granting the variance, it is my understanding, and I don't know if ACHD wants to speak to it, that a variance would need to be granted regardless of what is put there. If it's a dentist's office, if it's a senior center, or, you know, whatever folks are suggesting as alternates, it is my understanding that a variance would have to be granted just because of where the lot is. So I feel like that would be an inappropriate reason to deny it, just because then that means nothing can be built there, if that's going to be like the hard no for all of it. And then the last thing I'll say, and I'll let Greg or whoever else wants to chime in, our city code requires 1.5 parking spots per dwelling, so it would be per, you know, individual unit. I struggle with what kind of authority we would have or what we would point to for saying, well, they need more parking than that if they're meeting the code, because the code is what we've established as what the minimum that we would need in order to approve something. So I don't know what kind of standard we would put in place. It feels like it would just be really arbitrary and then could end up with really unfair differences between one project and another if we're making some people do 2.5 and some people do 1.5, just based on pure speculation of what people are going to need beyond what our code actually requires.
That's fair assumption on that, absolutely. But it's no secret that when you have 32 separate families living in there, you will have more than 1.5 cars per family at some point in time, and there is truly nowhere for them to go. Nowhere at all. We will probably be seeing cars on Hubbard and on Linder. And so when you talk about the safe parking aspect of it, that eliminates that.
I guess I don't know if anybody from planning and zoning wants to speak to how that number got landed on for what our code requires, because I can't imagine it was done arbitrarily. And I do know that from a planning perspective, multifamily housing is expected to have fewer cars per home than single-family homes. You're looking quizzical, so can anybody from ACHD or planning and zoning who has some greater knowledge in this speak to the 1.5 parking spots per and how that was?
That's actually pretty much a national standard. All municipalities that I'm aware of use that currently.
I guess my take on the traffic part of it is obviously something had to be done to allow whatever to be done with this, whether it was a Maverick, a liquor store, a dentist office, whatever. I don't know that the traffic, because of that lot size, it would be able to house, well, okay, let's say it was a convenience store. And lots of testimony that they definitely don't want something like that there. That traffic would be way greater than what would be generated from this apartment complex. You know, even the dentist office or that type of business in there, you know, who's to say they, I mean, like let's take Dr. Croft's office, for example. It's a humongous building. It's as big as these apartment complexes. It's not what somebody wants to look at, especially somebody that's been, say, on, you know, Whitbeck or whatever forever, and they're, the way their house is angled, they're going to kind of see that. I get it. The new counseling center was just built, and it's right out my back window. I'm actually kind of used to it already, and it hasn't even been built that long. But I get the you want something done with it, but what? I mean, storage units, no one wants that eyesore. I mean, there's a million things it could be. I'm torn on the 1.5 to parking per unit, because the type of people that typically move into these are your younger, you know, 20 to 25 year olds. I mean, at least from what's went in at Crimson Point, and you go by there at times, there's lots of cars. You go by other times and it's a ghost town, and I don't know what percentage of those are completely rented out, but you know, I see the the hesitation when people are worried about them, you know, overflowing down into Kelleher and streets like that to park on the street to walk back all the way around. Most kids that age group are too lazy to do that, so I don't see that really happening, but I'm sure it could. And I wouldn't want all those partygoers parking in front of my house, so I have sympathy there too. It's kind of a double-edged sword, because people that bought in this subdivision and looked out at that vacant lot forever probably always wondered what were they going to do, but what is the good thing to do with it? I think it provides, you know, I don't know what it'll cost, but affordable housing for somebody that's not have the ability for a house or you know, whatever, and maybe, you know, a couple buddies rent a place together, whatever. So it does provide a great service in that aspect for town, but I don't like anything going there, because I don't see that anything's going to be a good fit for traffic. So that's my take on it.
Okay. All right. So again, we're just talking about design review here. It doesn't mean that to get into what the plat approval is, so whoever council is comfortable on this one.
I guess I have a question for Chris or the mayor or whoever might be able to answer it. Let me find the exact language. Or maybe Jake. Let's see. I'm looking for the language that talks about the vote of council. How many people have to vote in favor of it? Oh, here we go. Shall only overrule the commission by favorable vote of one half plus one of the full council. And my question was, is that the council is constituted today, or is it the full council? So meaning, okay, so it needs to be unanimous. All three of us would have to agree that planning and zoning erred, and then all three of us would have – actually, that's just the – do they go part and parcel then? Like, we would – all three of us would have to agree in order to approve the design review, too. It's not just approve the appeal, but does that make sense? Like, it has to go together, right?
Well, the way you vote will either approve or – you're voting based on the planning and zoning. What they said was – you know, where they recommended denied it, excuse me, my recommendation. And what you need to do is either uphold their denial or conditionally uphold it or overrule the commission's decision to deny this project, to deny the project. So if you overturn their decision or overrule their decision, basically you're approving the design review.
Got it.
Yes, Chris.
As a city clerk, I'd like to ask the legal representation that's in the front row if they would chime in on any direction on that question, whether we need the full council of four, or it can be three with two plus two and then one. I would ask permission for that consideration.
Yes. Would you like to chime in on the full council plus one, half plus one?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Bill Giggray III. In our family, we all have numbers because we have the same name, unfortunately, or fortunately. My office is at 5700 East Franklin Road in Nampa, Idaho. I'm here for an item later in the agenda, and I'm a practicing attorney in the state of Idaho. And I believe you folks may know who I am with regards to the specific question that is being asked in our opinion, and we represent other cities in this matter. When an ordinance or a statute references a vote of the full council, we believe that means all council members, not just those who are present, because sometimes statutes will read just a majority vote of the council, and then that's a different interpretation. But full council, my recommendation to you would be that would take a vote of all of you here because you have an absent member.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. You're appreciate welcome. That.
Earning his money already. So do we want to discuss further or...
Yeah, is there further discussion, or does somebody want to make a motion, or where are we at here?
I think I said what I needed to, or asked what I needed
Yeah, if you guys could give me your, so I think I've already been pretty clear that I, in my read of the statute, it appears to me that there was an error made and that we would need to overrule the decision. But I wanted to hear what you guys think, because if you disagree with that, then there's no point in me making that motion because it would fail. So then somebody else would need to make a motion.
It's tough because we're now putting a 3-to-1 vote in planning and zoning is just coming out and saying they've completely failed. In that regards, not able to prove anything, not do anything. But when we talk about the design on things, there's certainly some concerning things that I've already talked about pretty clearly that I've seen. So We'll say you, Greg.
If it's going to be apartments, I mean, I wish it was less. I, you know, they could have their own green space, whatever. This is what they brought forward. Again, it meets code as far as parking. It meets code as far as sidewalks, you know, landscaping, yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, by the legalities, it's a favorable item.
Okay. So that leaves it up to, would you like Brianna to make a favorable motion, or would you like to make a, or Warren like to make a non-favorable? And again, we're talking about design review here, mm-hmm. and not the entire.
Right. We're talking about the landscaping, the parking, the traffic. You know, and we talk about the legalities of everything, and by letter of the law, when they match code and ordinances and all that stuff, our hands are tied in what we do, ultimately. But when I can read that they aren't following ACHD's location policy, sure. They've made an exception for this because nothing can be built there, but at what point did that fail in the process? Because when they have something written in their policy, they have it for a reason. So when we look at the traffic and the safety and the location and the 290 feet away is all from the intersection, there's a reason they have it in their policy. It needs there needs to be something different with that. Did they make an exception for this? Yes, but it's still written in their policy. So from a full legality standpoint, from the bigger picture of traffic and safety and the 290 feet from what's written in their policy, yes, there's some legal standing to say that we don't have to agree with that.
I have one more question. If we say no to it tonight, so this is for planning and zoning or council, if the denial ends up getting upheld, do we have to provide the specific reasons that planning and zoning did not provide in terms of why we are denying it and the things that they can do to correct so that it would get approved? Okay. So we'll just have to make sure to tell them how they can change the streets then, or like what ACHD would have to say differently that would make it approvable.
So at that point, we'd have to sit down with our legal counsel then and see what reasoning we could do for that. But when it goes through planning and zoning, and we have to then justify their decision for them.
Well, but we don't have to justify their decision. The legal standard for us, this is a de novo review, which means that we have to renew it, like, brand new without, like, we've had a public hearing so that we have all of the testimony and stuff that we would need to consider. So we don't have to try to speak for planning and zoning. We just have to speak for ourselves.
Okay. I mean, it clearly sounds like it's no secret where I stand on this, but my hands are tied at this point. So we just need to make a motion to approve it and move on, because there's clearly nothing I can do to move forward with saying no on this.
So. Well, I mean, I guess I'm not totally following you, because if you say no, like, it doesn't move forward. So you obviously have the power to say no. We just need to be able
to... Do I have the legal power to say no? Because right now I'm now being said, well, okay, if you say no, you now are going to have to write a legal reasoning on what they have to do next, which is fair, which is fine. I'm not in a position to do that, so...
Well, we just have to be able to look at the design review standards in CUNA City Code and say, how does it not meet them? What specifically do they need to do to change so that they would meet them? So if it's an issue with access to the site or whatever, and we don't like where they have it now, or the fact that ACHD gave them a variance, like, we need to be able to give them some sort of instruction for how they can change it.
And Wendy? So this is actually the
basically allowing it.
What we need to look at. So.
Oh, Wendy, I think.
Yes, go ahead, Wendy.
Because of where this lot is located, I even if they went on the other side for access, they're going to still have to receive a variance because it doesn't meet their policy of being so far away from the corner. So whether it's on the northeast corner or south.
Whether it's on Hubbard or Linder. Okay.
So then, I'm not a designer. I'm not an architect. I can't look at a picture and say, well, if we turn them that way and do that and turn the entrance there and could take something off Linder. And you know what I mean?
ACHD only approved it for right there.
They will only approve it for right there.
ACHD's here if you want them to tell you what can happen or what.
Could we, please?
Yeah, Bill, go ahead real quick.
Mr. Mayor, Bill Gabegray III again, and I gave some advice earlier. My recommendation is if you're going to take more testimony, I'd reopen the hearing for acceptance of additional testimony on certain issues so it's really clear that you're still receiving more information on this particular matter. And I do think you have a license to continue this if you need more time to review or ask for more information in a continued hearing. So I think you have those options.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think I would agree with that. I mean, if because again, this is something that council isn't used to seeing as the design reviews. If you're not comfortable with this, we can certainly table it and come back. We'd want to do a date certain.
If there's like additional pieces of information we want, like staff to go out and get or stuff like that, that can happen in the interim, correct? So what's your would you rather have us reopen the hearing so that ACHD can speak, or would you rather send questions out to them in the meantime and just table it to next meeting, or how are you feeling?
Let's reopen the hearing real quick, because maybe these questions can just finalize things for what the decisions are for us tonight.
Okay.
Okay, and we can do that. That'll also create a chance for rebuttal also. So.
Okay. Okay. I move we reopen the public hearing.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to reopen the public hearing on 18-01-A and 18-12-DR. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. All right. It's always good to have ACHD here.
Mayor Steer, Councilmember Christensen, I'm happy to stand for any questions you might have. For the record, David Corcoran, Ada County Highway District, 3775 Adams Street, Garden City.
I guess what is the standard, if you know that off the top of your head, when you talk about the driveway access from a major intersection like that? 290 feet east is where this sits. But it says due to insufficient frontage, this doesn't meet ACHD's location policy. Why?
Yes, so Mayor Steer, Councilmember Christensen, our policy would typically call for a 330-foot offset on a road like Hubbard. However, our policy does allow staff to provide for variance in a situation like this where, if we didn't allow for this 12% offset here, the property wouldn't functionally have any access.
Okay, and so was it the agreement that you guys had made in order to recommend it, the maybe restricted to ride in, ride out when it's determined by ACHD and or the City of CUNA?
Mayor Steer, Councilmember Christensen, yes, that's correct. ACHD is maintaining the right to restrict access to ride in, ride out. As the developer indicated, our plan would be to do that if and when a roundabout or other intersection improvement takes place there at Linder and Hubbard.
Okay. And that's actually kind of common. We've done that before where there is full access with the option for in the future when certain things happen that it becomes right in, right out. So that's not an uncommon thing.
Okay. And you guys denied all lender access, is that correct?
Mayor Steer, Council Member Christensen, I would have to look into exactly what the background is on lender. That being said, it still wouldn't, either way, it doesn't quite meet the ideal offset. But as I indicated earlier, our policy does allow for a modification in situations like this where we can't quite make that 330-foot threshold.
Okay. Further questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right. Was there anybody else you wanted to bring up?
No, I think he's. I really just kind of wanted to get that fully squared away.
Okay.
With that, thank you.
Would the applicant like to give a rebuttal to that?
Jane Suggs, representing the Kelleher 2 subdivision. I really don't have a rebuttal other than I think the next hearing may clear up more issues regarding some of the things that are of issue now being used as part of the design review. So before we table this or defer this to another date, if we could hear the other testimony, go through these things again, possibly there might be some clarification.
Okay, thank you.
Would you rather?
I think approving a design review when there's still questions, just so we can hope to get clarifications risky.
Okay, we can.
Are we able to table this for next meeting, and then I will submit questions, or what can we do about this without just a no vote?
Why don't we table this decision until, I don't know if we can move it to different numbering or move it to the end or say we're going to rule on 6A and 6B all at once. Sure.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my recommendation to you would be if you're going to continue this, of course, you'll do it to a date certain in time so that everyone here is aware when you will bring this back. I think you should be very clear if you're going to allow additional testimony or you're going to be asking additional questions that you would state that you are so that you would come back, you would reopen this for more testimony, potentially on whatever issues you wish more testimony on. If you determine you don't want more testimony and you're going to close it for additional evidence, then you would continue it for the sole purpose of deliberation. That way the people here will know what your intentions are.
Sure. So it sounded like the applicant suggested additional information might kind of clear things up in the very next public hearing on the agenda. So could we just say
what? I guess you could recess this hearing.
Okay.
And then reconvene it after you have the hearing on the next item. And then take that testimony and go through that process. And then as you concluded it, then you could reconvene this hearing and see where you want to go at that point in time. I think you can proceed to do that.
Okay.
All right. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to do that.
Then I move we recess the public hearing for case numbers 1801A and 1812DR.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to recess 18-01A and 18-12-DR until at least after the next public hearing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. So we move on now to public hearing and consideration to approve 18-01-CPF, a combination preliminary and final plat for Kelleher subdivision number 2. Jace, do you want to lead this one off?
Good
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, once again for the record, Jace Hellman, Planner 2, Kuna Planning Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. This application is, so they're requesting approval to re-subdivide Lot 8, Block 1 of the Kelleher subdivision, which consists of approximately 1.96 acres through the combination preliminary plat and final plat process. They're looking to do 9 lots total. One of those would be a common lot, which would be for the parking. Under CUNA City Code 6-2-3-B, a combination preliminary and final plat is permitted if the applicant meets the following criteria. One is a proposed subdivision does not exceed 10 lots. Two, no street dedication or street widening is involved. Three, no major special development considerations are involved, such as development of floodplain, hillside development, or the like. And all required information for both preliminary and final plat is complete and in acceptable form. Staff would determine that this application does meet that criteria. As we've kind of mentioned back with the design review, access to the site is proposed a 31-foot wide driveway onto Hubbard Road from the site. As mentioned again, the access was recommended by ACHD to be approved as a temporary full access, with that condition held that it may be reduced to right in, right out in the future. The applicant, they do propose to close the Linder Road access, and then there are provisions laid out in the supplemental declaration of annexation establishes the covenants, conditions, restrictions for the Saparosa Ridge subdivision, which is filed with Kelleher, that there is an ingress egress deed already in place across Lot 1, Block 1. If you remember that, that common lot that runs across the front is Lot 1, Block 1, so there is a deed for access already in place along there. Basically, the future land use map, just a reminder, it does serve as a guide for the decision-making body of the city. Comp plan indicates land use designation. Generally speaking, it's not the actual zone. If you remember, late last year, this body did allow a C1 rezone, and even though it did show R4, council did determine that a C1 was a suitable fit for this area. Not to mention, it does note that this lot will be a commercial lot on the plat notes for the final plat. Other than that, if you guys have any questions regarding lot layouts, this is where we can talk about density as well.
Okay.
We're more than open for that.
Questions for Jace? Not right now. Thank you.
I have one question. There was a comment earlier about, and I'm sorry if I'm blindsiding with this because this is kind of obscure, about the average density for multifamily within CUNA, that it's like 20 units per acre or something like that. Does that ring a bell at all?
So I don't have an average density by fact. I'll let you know that by zone, it is determined by the zone.
Okay.
Whether it's an R6 with a special use permit, they're held to their 6 units per acre. C1 doesn't have a density requirement necessarily. So I don't know the specifics, but
that's a great answer.
By zone.
That's perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Jace. Yes.
Mayor and Council, Jane Suggs with WH Pacific, representing Kelleher 2 Subdivision. Thank you for allowing this hearing to go on, hopefully with an opportunity to clarify some of the issues that still are concerning to the Council. Let's focus on that subdivision approval. Again, letting you know that we agree with all. You've got two staff reports, and we agree with the analysis of the project that was in their staff report and agree to meet all the conditions of approval that are listed in the report. In fact, you might remember we're taking some steps to actually meet those conditions by going ahead and moving that trash enclosure to the west. This is just showing you where the location is, and of course you know that pretty well. It's a 1.96 acre property, and it's part of the Saparosa Ridge subdivision. If you go to the next application, one of the things that I think that Jace referred to, and I think just to keep in mind,
is that this property was rezoned, and I've got a copy of the letter that came with the application. This was rezoned to neighborhood commercial C1, and of course, multifamily housing is an allowable use in C1. And if you scroll down, I think there's a way to scroll down on that. You'll see there's a letter. The letter actually says this is being rezoned to C1 for multifamily housing. If you go down one more page, you'll see at the top right there, it says that they're Kelleher. The application is for Kelleher fourplexes, 9 fourplex units. So when this was rezoned last December 5th, I think was when the decision was finally rendered, this was the application before you, and it was for 36 units. So this body has already rezoned this property with an application that clearly showed that this was going to be multifamily housing, was going to be 9 fourplexes and 36 dwelling units. The next display, please. In fact, during that application, you'll see a sketch that was provided as part of that application. It shows a street coming from Hubbard Road right up against the eastern property boundary. It shows 9 fourplexes. Unfortunately, those were not drawn to scale very well. And so it's clear that the 36 dwelling units were being shown for this particular property when this application went through. When we were doing our design following this wasn't my plan, but when we were doing our design to this, we looked at doing 9 fourplexes as was shown when this property was rezoned. We could get 1.5, just under 1.5 parking spaces per, and we dropped a unit so that we could get 2 parking spaces per dwelling unit. So we've actually reduced the density that was already contemplated when this was rezoned. We felt like the 8 fourplexes was a much better design, providing the necessary parking. If you go back to the landscape plan again, please. Number four. You've actually seen this landscape piece again. The 2-story fourplexes with a height limitation, I think we said 29 feet tall, much lower than the 35 feet that's allowable in the residential zones. The setbacks, 5 and 10 feet, depending on what kind of easements are necessary, and certainly the lot sizes are greater than the requirement for commercial, which is 2,000 square feet. And again, the 30-foot buffer that surrounds the property, that is not doesn't belong to the Kelleher property. That belongs to Chaparosa. But that's the buffer that, if there are ever any improvements to the intersection, would come through that buffer. The common lot certainly provides parking and landscaping. Like we staff has said, 64 parking spaces, landscaping around each of the buildings. Additional trees along the east property boundary, which is sort of a repeat, but this bears reading this into the record for the plat. The 6-foot fence around the entire property. There are sidewalks, of course, throughout the property to provide good pedestrian access through the entire property and connecting to the arterial streets. And there's that connection to the park. That's along in the southeast corner. Let's talk about that connection a little bit. And you've read my letters. You know that we are within the Chaparosa HOA, and it's described in our letter. Originally in March, when we made our application with that connection, with the idea that we would actually not be part of the HOA, but have a separate agreement with the HOA just for the use of the park. And part of that was because we didn't want that HOA of Chaparosa to be responsible for the parking lot and all those things. PNZ, and this is why we went through some of this denial, I mean, the hearings and why that was deferred, is PNZ decided, oh, this is great, go get that agreement worked out and then come back and we'll get that approved. As you can tell from testimony tonight, there's a lot of reasons why that agreement might not ever come to pass between the Homeowners Association and Kelleher. So when we came back for our second P&Z hearing, we had to come up with a different plan, which was actually to not be a part of the HOA at all and just do our own amenities. Once again, the P&Z began to talk about deferring. So this is why we ended up with a denial, because we knew that we would likely never come to an agreement with the neighborhood, who was very split on whether or not this project should occur. So we are back. We are here with the original agreement. We continue to be a part of the HOA and do a sub-HOA. We've talked to our attorney. We will do a sub-HOA so that the Chaparosa HOA is not responsible at all for parking lot potholes or the landscaping on the property. So we will remain a part of this HOA for Chaparosa, and we will pay our per lot fee plus the fee that we pay for maintenance of the buffer area. We'll create the sub HOA, and it'll be just for the Kelleher 2 residents. And again, reminding you that that's for the maintenance of the exteriors of the buildings as well, as we discussed before. Even though the buildings may be individually owned, this is definitely a way to make sure that they are maintained appropriately. And we will provide a connection to the park. We've provided a preliminary plat, a final plat, and a landscape plan that were originally submitted as part of our application. It's the same application, same drawings. We want to propose the new condition that's not in your staff report, and that is the moving of the enclosure from the southeast corner to the southwest corner away. So we want to add that as condition. So if hopefully you approve the project, you would approve it with the condition added that the trash enclosure be moved to the west side of the property. We agree with the staff report when they said, staff has determined this application complies with the goals and policies for CUNA City, Title V and Title VI of the CUNA City Code, Idaho Code Title 67, Chapter 65, which is the Local Land Use Planning Act, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan. We are subdividing the property according to the CUNA Subdivision Code. We are planning to construct 4-plex buildings that meet the zoning code and have prepared design drawings that follow the design review guidelines. And we agree with all the conditions in the staff report, plus the one. And we respectfully request your approval. I'm hoping that some of that information about the expectation on this particular property might have cleared up some of the concerns of the council members who are possibly dissatisfied with this plan or the design of this plan. But I'm hoping that you will ask me questions if you have questions about the plat,
okay.
Parking, the traffic.
Questions?
It's hard to separate these questions from the design side of it. But no, I think I've asked what I can.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. So again, this is a public hearing. We have the sign-in sheet. Did everybody get a chance to sign in on the plat discussion that wanted to? Okay. So we have one person in favor of testifying, David M. Burke, Sr.
Good evening. Welcome back again.
Thank you
for giving us this opportunity. Thank you for being here and listening to us and everything. David M. Burke, 2764 North Matterdale Avenue, Junior, Idaho. I put down that I'm in favor both times because, again, I'm not opposed to create good quality living and so forth and moving CUNA forward and everything. But we keep on hearing about plans and everything meets the legalities and everything like that. Well, I take you back to the Challenger Space Shuttle. all those plans met specs, experts brought them in, and everything else, and I think we all know what happened there. That's just one thing that can happen. Plans are just that, they're plans. Guidelines, ordinances, laws, and so forth will govern and tell us what we can do and can't do. But there's always room for improvement and so forth, and that's what we're asking for. We're asking for it to improve. Okay, granted it was 9 units on the original plans and everything else. So that took a total of 36 families, and that's 72 cars. Okay, now it's down to 8 units, and 32 families are moving in, and that takes you up to 64 cars. Okay, what we're asking for is not basically out of the realm, is to decrease by 1, maybe 2 more units to make it a little bit more livable and a good quality of living for everybody, you know. But that brings in more taxpayers. That brings in more jobs, more workers. We're going to have people coming in anyways. We have developments going up. The high school's going up. They mentioned 750 units in a subdivision going in. Great. Let's bring them on. But again, let's do it safely, and let's do it as a community and so forth. The lawyer wants to mention that, you know, we don't know if we're going to be in agreement, and they want to start their own. Well, they're talking about 8 lot fees and so forth, but us as single-family homeowners have to pay our HOA dues and fees per family. So if I turn around and add on to my house, if I can get a plan approved through the Planning Commission and Zoning Commission and add a, I believe they call it a mother-in-law room to my house and everything, and I turn my house from a single-family home into a multifamily home, that means I only have to pay 1 HOA fee instead of 2. What we're asking for is not out of the realm. It's if there's going to be 32 families, then it should be 32. It's going to be 32 families using the park and so forth. Nobody wants to de-annex. Nobody wants to segregate. Nobody wants to build walls and so forth. So.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Burke? No. Oh, thank you very much. So then we're on to in opposition testify Michael Williams.
My name, it's okay. McKaylee Williams, 193 East Whitburn Street, Juneau.
Okay.
I'm a big proponent of visual aids, and what Ms. Jane Suggs here failed to mention also is during planning and zoning, she has reiterated the same thing that planning and zoning had heard, and she has given the same answers. Still not able to give concrete answers as to what will happen, what will be. Yes, we meet this. Yes, we meet that. I don't know if any of you have been on Linder. I'm sure you have, particularly you, Mr. Mayor. This right here, that's what I see from my house directly to the west. There's a fence, an access fence, 100 feet to the north that people can go in and go out of. Kids, I might add punk kids, continue to kick that in. It's gone from small to big, and it hasn't been dealt with. And now the apartment complex is supposedly going to be put in. That's another thing I'm going to have to deal with. The swing set, bloody rags, or bloody cotton balls, I should be more precise. God knows what was going on over there. That's something I have to deal with, along with my neighbors. When the HOA put in the swing set, you know, they're talking about, oh, no, we won't have access to the park or do this or do that. And people taking their dogs to the park, dog mess. They leave it. Don't clean it up. Kids run out there barefooted. There's the dog. There's the owners walking away as the dog's doing it. I had to chase them down and question them, why did they leave it there? These are all things that me as a homeowner has to deal with. And my daughter's supposed to go play over there. And then this apartment gets put up, and who knows? There's already, and I'm sure the deputy can attest to this, there's drag racing that goes on Hubbard. I called the sheriff's office a few nights ago complaining about it. and yet all this traffic's going to be there. It's an accident waiting to happen. Now, like I said before, and others would agree with me, yes, we're in favor of making things better. Yes, the apartment complex is not a way to go. Put houses in, put a duplex in, two houses put together, not an apartment building. I mean, this is right here. This is supposed to be designed for toddlers. Here we have oversized kids. I mean, what more do I need to do as a homeowner to show you, Mr. Mayor, and the council what's going on? I mean, you all have the power to do what is right, obviously. And yes, yeah, legally, they meet the requirements. But not to get off topic, I mean, it's just like, you know, in history, the Spartans, what, they were able to hold off 100 Persians. They had that tight space. Yeah, there's that driveway. But that's going to create congestion. That, you know, it's one thing after another. And, you know, anyway, I spoke my piece. Thanks. I appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thank you.
Next we have Chris Wainwright.
Mr. Mayor, Madam President, Council members, my name is Chris Wainwright. I live at 244 East Whitbeck. I'm literally one house over from the park. Tonight I am speaking on behalf of an additional six homeowners that have asked me to be their proxy. We are against this plan in its entirety. We've also submitted an additional list of 55 names to planning and zoning that do not want this. They do not want this at all. You can do the math on that. That's 62 people in our neighborhood of approximately 200 homes. So we're literally knocking on a little over a quarter. They don't want it. They don't want it at all. We're going to have the high school going in here in a couple years. Both my boys graduated. My wife and I, we moved here to CUNA because of the schools. My oldest graduated 2014. 80% of that class was accepted to colleges. Highest ever for our high school. High school's moving. Town's growing. And we get that. We actually like it. This is a bad plan. There's 300 kids right now that have parking at the high school. We're getting more kids. So it's safe to say that 300 is not going to be the number of kids coming up Linder to go to the high school. We haven't even factored in teachers, staff, other parents dropping their kids off at the high school. How many cars are we going to have going up through there in the morning during prime time rush hour hours? I took a look and counted, and it took me a good couple hours to do. In a three-quarter mile circle around that subdivision, around that intersection, there's over 1,000 homes right now. Timbermist, the neighborhood directly north of this plat, they're not done building. They're looking at least another 100 homes. We're going to have more traffic, more than ACHD has even thought of. Nobody's accounted for it. We have. So now you're going to have new drivers, 300, 400 every morning, every afternoon, while we try to get to and from our homes, going to work, going to the store. That's stuff we have to deal with. We also don't want to deal with the crime. Crimson Point went in, the crime flow has gone up. They've not even been in 2 years. We don't want that. We want good neighbors. We want stewards of the community. That's what we're really shooting for here. And this development is not that. It's just not. We have folks. I wish they could be here. They had other commitments. That's why I'm here. I'm their voice. I've got over 60 people saying no.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So the challenge that we run into is, in order for us to say no, if they're meeting all of our city code requirements, they comply with the comp plan, they've followed all the rules that have been set out for them, we have to, like, if you guys want us to say no, but we have to find some grounds to be able to do that. And so what are you suggesting is wrong with their application, or is non-compliant with city code, or what are you saying should go in there?
Well, I mean, if we look at it from a legal standpoint, sure, they meet, they've crossed their I's, they've dotted their I's, they've crossed their T's. We know this. I'm not arguing that. I'm looking at it simply from safety. And as Councilman Christian has said, safety. What is safe? This isn't safe. I wish I could say, yeah, there won't be any crime and there won't be any kids getting in car accidents at that intersection. But I can't. Nobody can. We know it's going to happen.
So what's your concern about it, though? Is because I've heard crime, which is technically, I mean, that's just to be blunt, I mean, it's a discriminatory reason that we're not allowed to consider at all. Like the assumption that because it's apartments, it's just going to be crappy people that live there.
I mean, let's just do it on safety alone. We have one way in and one way out of that property.
Okay.
It's less than 300 feet from the intersection. We're going to have people during prime time hours with school buses running, with kids trying to get to school, with folks trying to get to work, making turns in and out of that property. And that's just not the morning. You know?
Okay, so I guess the thing I'm struggling with is I'm hearing people say, like, oh, it'd be fine if it's single family in there. How is that different? I mean, it sounds like the issue really is it's apartments or something like apartments, and we think that not nice people are going to live there.
No, this is – I'm looking at it simply as a density thing. I mean, we're talking about 32 units.
So in
we're
your
– we're not talking just families. I mean, we're talking folks that have roommates. So you've got a three-bedroom unit. Who's to say that there's going to be three, four, five people sharing an apartment? We don't know.
I mean, who's to say that doesn't happen in a house with six bedrooms? I mean, I just, what is the prime, like, what, so what are you asking for? Aside from just saying no, like, are you asking for a specific reduction? Are you asking that this whole property be scrapped? And
I would like to see something done with it, because I'll be honest, I'm tired of seeing chest-high, neck-high weeds throughout the year out there. And it's not just summertime. I mean, we've seen it through the winter. I'd like to see something done with that property. But the truth of the matter is, it's just too much.
Okay.
We want 32 units there. Mixed two and three bedroom, we're talking 80 plus people. We're talking more than 66 car spaces.
Warren, I agree with you. I travel Linder, I travel Hubbard, Deer Flat, I farm all the way around this town. And I see the traffic firsthand. I mean, I was ran over by a guy in traffic that was texting and driving a year and a half ago. The traffic is horrible. The problem is we are not the traffic authority. ACHD is, and they have specifically said this particular project, traffic-wise, is not a problem. They've gave a variance for in and out access to that property. Their conclusion was it was better to dump them on Hubbard than Linder. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's – I'm not the traffic authorities. That's what they decided. And that's where our hands are tied. Like you stated, the I's were dotted, the T's were crossed, and everything the project manager, the developer, everyone has brought forward has met all the codes, all the requirements, health department, school district, fire department. The list goes on and on and on. I'm with Warren, I'm with you, I'm with some of the others. I may not personally like, I don't want to see eight apartments there. I'd rather see four. I'd rather see one. I'd rather see, if you compare the size of that lot on that map right there, if you move it straight over into the subdivision, do you know how many houses there would be? Like eight. So put four in each one of those, that's 32-ish people. There's maybe going to be 64 in here, but they're going to be coming and going just as much as these people. And maybe they're going to have teenagers. Now there's going to be four cars in that house versus two in an apartment or whatever. So tit for tat, the traffic's probably honestly going to be the same. And unfortunately, we don't have a say when it comes to the traffic aspect of this.
So what recourse do we have as homeowners when we have people parking in our neighborhood? Let's just be honest. They don't have enough parking.
Yeah.
And we do the numbers, and they're right at 66. Initially, this plan was supposed to be for 64 spots. Four of them were accessible for those with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And then during the planning and zoning meeting, they changed that up. They dropped one, gave them three, now there's 61 spots.
But are they still compliant with all the codes?
Yeah, sure, they're compliant.
Okay, then that's where, unfortunately, our hands are tied.
I hear you on that. But we still, it doesn't pass the sniff test. Sure, it's legal, but it doesn't pass the sniff test. It doesn't pass the common sense test. Because now there's a burden on our neighborhood, and there shouldn't be. If they want to do this, I would personally be for a reduction in the density. Let's do half. Why do they need that eighth building right there? I mean, that's been a concern right there because of simple privacy issues. They're not going to put full-size trees in. There's no way you can. So they're going to put in saplings. And we will literally have to wait a decade or more for those trees to grow tall enough to provide the privacy that they're promising today.
So now we're getting back into design review stuff, so...
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to elongate. Do my questions need to happen during their testimony, or if I'm asking questions after, is it okay if they go longer in responding to my questions? I just want to make sure I'm not treating people unfairly by cutting them off or anything. I'm sorry.
Again, for the record, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Bill Gigray, in answer to your question, I think that you can ask questions when testimony is being given as they come to mind.
Okay.
And I don't see any hard and fast rule in that regard, as long as you give the person providing testimony an opportunity to explain themselves.
Okay.
So I don't think there's any format necessarily you have to follow.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
You're not the third this time? Oh, okay. Did you lose one?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next we have Terry Williams.
Good evening again. Terry Williams, 580 East Sienna Creek, CUNA. I've been listening to all of this, and wow. Mr. McPherson there did state that, wow, they've met all this criteria. We can't legally say no. Well, one gentleman that testified earlier, he said that he did a Google search that said 14% drop in value of a house if apartment complex was in that proximity. Well, if the average house is $200,000, which I think is pretty close in those neighborhoods, that's $28,000 per house. Where's that money going to come from? Nowhere. Second of all, I know of three different houses in over in my subdivision, which is next to this one, that are classified single-family homes. And I know three houses in particular that have multiple families. And you can drive by their house, and it is a used parking lot. And that's just three. Now, you're also talking about 64 spaces. Am I correct? Parking? Okay. So that's 164 spaces. Now, if let's just say on a given holiday, football game, baseball game, World Series, whatever. If each person had two visitors, each dwelling, just two visitors, that's 128 vehicles. Where are you going to put them? There's no place to put them. They're going to wind up in those neighborhoods. Can't park on Hubbard, can't park on Linder. That's just 120. That's only just two people. I wonder how many people have... You know, usually if you have a football, shindig, baseball, World Series, whatever, you're going to have more than two, maybe. I mean, it could happen. And then lastly, and I'll get out of here, who's going to police these are supposed to be single families? Is that correct? I should have my talk.
Yes.
Okay, single families. That
might be a single person. Maybe.
Single person,
yeah. Some of them are 600 square foot, and some of them are big enough.
Right, for right. Bedroom. But who's going to police them to make sure that one family says, hey, I only got one kid, you got three, and you only got two. Hey, we'll cram them all together. We'll cram them all together. Who's going to police that? Or is anybody going to police it? And lastly but not least, just because they meet all the requirements, like my friend said, it just doesn't smell right. You know, just because it meets requirements, that doesn't mean you have to do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Joan Frackman.
Hi, Joanne Frackman, 124 East Chaparosa Court. I want to say from the zoning and planning meeting that when they denied this application, they did talk about common area. And the fact, what brought it up is one of the members said that it was important to keep the flavor of our neighborhood. And so if you have the proposed area and then our area, so it's 1 and 2 of Kelleher, I guess, that the HOAs get along, that the people get along, so you don't have a neighborhood of animosity and anger and upset that can lead to other things. I think the human factor, it isn't a legal or non-legal thing, but there's a human factor where we live and to feel safe and in harmony in our homes. I can tell you that this project is leading against that naturally because the HOAs, the proposed HOA that will come from Kelleher 2 and ours, have not had enough meetings and they've not come to a meeting of the minds or negotiations. The times have been closed from when things have changed since the last where they were denied to this meeting. And there really hasn't been that much of an opportunity for them to get together and really try and hash something out that would be acceptable to both groups. They say now they're not de-annexing, but it's a huge thing to throw 2 and 3 bedroom apartments, 32 units total, into a park that we're all going to use. And the arguments and upsets and anger that can come out of those things not being resolved. I think that has to become resolved before this unit can go forward for the sake of everyone living in Kelleher 2 and 1. I think it's really important that we maintain a decorum of civility and neighborhoodliness. And I will tell you in Chaparosa, we really have that. We do look out for each other and care about each other. And it's why we moved to CUNA. It's why I built a home there instead of staying in West Boise. It's, you all know what I'm talking about because you're here and you our mayor and our city council and Madam President. It's why we're here. And that has to be taken into consideration. If you go down in density, it's going to really make things different for the traffic patterns, for the looking after things, and also I want to see the HOAs, the developer and our HOA get back together and see what we can hammer out for real. Everyone has to be reasonable on both sides. Thank you for your time. Do you have any questions for me?
Any questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Very well put. Thank you. Connie Morrison.
Connie Morrison, 9565 South Linder Meridian. I live right across. I have an exit onto Linder and onto Hubbard almost exactly where this is going to go, same distance. When we have to walk out into the road to stop the cars so we can pull out, and we only have 2 people living at our place to get out, you know what a mess that's going to be there. And we've been there almost 50 years. So you've got to... The traffic is just going to be unreal. Safety, when I have to go out and help kids walk across the road and you're going to put that many more people over there, and are they going to have to come out, stop the cars, and drive out from there? We only have 2 having to do that. So I just want you to consider the safety that's going to be going there. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Helen Wolfgram.
Colleen Wolf Graham, 1901 West Hubbard Road. We have participated over the last 20 or 25 years in testifying when all of these developments have gone in and are proposed. I think the developers know just how to dot their I's and cross their T's so that they're all within the legal ramifications of approval, which I think hands are really tied for you guys as to how you deny. I think it puts the citizens of CUNA in a real tough position because we are tired of testifying. We're tired of expressing our concerns because we're the ones that get the slap in the face when everything is approved on a continual basis. I'm glad I'm not in your position to have to make the decision, but I think it's very important that you take into consideration the opinions and the concerns that the citizens of CUNA have. We're losing our small country feel. Development is going to continue. CUNA's going to run into Meridian before long. I lived on Fairview and Liberty in Boise when Zamzos had a wooden door and a wooden floor. It was a two-lane road. Now it is a four-lane, five-lane mess. I live in CUNA. I drive into Boise every day. The Meridian-CUNA Highway has turned into an interstate. If you go in the morning or come home during the traffic patterns at night, it can be as bad or worse than the interstate. Development is going to continue. The city's going to continue to grow. But I really think you need to take into consideration the concerns that the citizens have that live here and that have lived here, that are moving in because of the small town community. And I don't know how you're going to not approve this if they are in the legal ramifications that they have to be. I mean, you can't deny it because of the concerns of traffic or the concerns of people taking over your park that's established for Chaparosa. So just please take a minute to not only this development, but the other development that is proposed in CUNA. Don't let this turn into the big city that we don't want it to turn into.
Thank you.
Tim McKay.
I'll try and get to the point. I'm Tim McKay. I live at 445 East Taper Court in CUNA. have concerns, a couple things. I counted 5 bus stops directly on Linder Road and Hubber Road within that 1 mile section of where this is going in. And I'm talking about bus stops. The kids are standing on the side of the road and cars driving by and you can barely see them standing there in some cases. And there are multiple buses that are stopping there. It's not just one bus that's going along and picking them all up. So I don't think that was a consideration when this project was originally presented. Or the growth that has happened from the time that this was presented. It was from the time it was rezoned and presented until today. So that might be a consideration. Some of the things have changed in our city that weren't a consideration before. I have concerns that this is 2 separate entities that are going to be tied together through 1 homeowners association. It'll be a sub-association, but I still think that's really messy. It's messy for us as homeowners. It's also messy for the owners, the 8 separate owners of this development, for us to navigate. And then I just, I guess for the sake of moving on to this, when we talk about density, there's still a question here that has been answered, is what's typical for CUNA? What is the density that's typically approved? How many people per acre? How many units per acre? And I think that's an important question to answer before anything moves forward, that we have some sort of idea. Because legally, I mean, that puts you into a realm. If you're approving 8 units per acre versus 4 units per acre.
I think Jake did answer that, that there are established densities for residential zoning, but because this is commercial, there isn't an established, you know, range for it or an average for CUNA.
So the last thing I think we should consider is maybe there's some ordinances that we need to look at and revise as a city.
I will note, just I don't know if other people have heard us say this in other hearings and stuff, but we are working on rewriting our comprehensive plan because I know that it's frustrating for you guys to come, and, you know, this is a very emotional issue. There's townhomes going in right next to my subdivision, too, so don't feel like I don't understand what you guys are feeling, because, like, trust me. I think the trouble we run into, and of course we have more people to testify, and I'm not saying that I've made a decision without, you know, hearing what everybody has to say. But historically we've been frustrated with the flexibility that we have, and so we decided to rewrite the comp plan. We're almost a full year into that process. It's expensive and it takes a long time, but that's something that we decided to do because of the feedback we were getting from people, you know, wanting us to have some more leeway or, you know, just some more options. So whether or not you guys are happy with the outcome tonight, just know that, like, you are heard and we are trying to make changes in order to be able to be more responsive to what folks are asking us to do and that sort of thing. So anyway, continue, Joe.
And that is a very good point that she makes. That's one reason that we are putting all that time and effort into our rewrite of our comprehensive plan. So thank you for mentioning that. Wendy Chapman.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, good evening. My name is Wendy Chapman. I'm with Northern Star HOA Management at 5660 East Franklin in Nampa. We currently manage the Chaparosa Ridge Homeowners Association, along with 25 other HOAs in the Treasure Valley, representing thousands of homeowners. I'm here today to share testimony in opposition to the Kelleher Subdivision Number 2 plat as it is being presented. The unique thing about this project is, which I'm sure you're already aware and you've heard, is that this lot is currently platted as part of the Chaparosa Ridge Homeowners Association. And I would argue that the intention of the original Kelleher Number 1 and Chaparosa Ridge development was for single-family dwellings. And that subdividing this Lot 8, Block 1, was not the intention when the subdivision was originally developed. This becomes evident by the fact that the current CCNRs of Chaparosa Ridge HOA do not address multi-units in any fashion or any dwelling, any multi-unit dwellings. If the council does approve the preliminary and final plats of the Kelleher Number 2, Chaparosa Ridge will be required to amend their CCNRs to address the challenges of multi-units. As a manager of multi-unit HOAs, I know firsthand the unique challenges of operating and managing them. I'm very familiar with the problems presented and that come to a multi-family dwelling, including overfilled trash cans with people leaving couches and mattresses and other debris, the parking problems, and increased crime. And as you talked a little bit about the parking issues, we do currently manage homeowners associations with fourplexes specifically one in Nampa with 28 buildings. And though the parking does meet the code requirements, it isn't sufficient for the number of residents in that community. And there are problems with abandoned vehicles, crimes, residents from outside of the subdivision entering and dumping their mattresses and their couches and things like that. So we're very familiar with those challenges. We have been involved with the negotiations. Jane Suggs did contact us in March, and we've been working closely with the board of directors. However, the applicant has vacillated in what their intentions were in regards to the Chaparosa Ridge HOA that they currently belong to. We are fully aware of the need to develop successful projects, but we also are keenly aware of what happens to a project or a community when it's not developed in the right way. Putting 88 multi-unit buildings next to single-family residential subdivision is not the best for community growth. Approving this development is not in the best interest of the homeowners of Chaparosa Ridge HOA, and I respectfully ask that the approval of this application be tabled until further needed preparation or negotiations can be achieved by the Chaparosa Ridge Homeowners Association, or perhaps even an informal mediation would be appropriate.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
Is there active talk going on between your HOA and Kelleher then? Is that what I'm getting?
Yes, the last meeting that we had with Jane Suggs, she advised us that they were, again, changing their plan, which was to remain part of the subdivision, and that was new information to the HOA because previously they had stated that they were going to de-annex. And I wasn't at the planning and zoning meeting, but from my understanding, this is not the plan that was presented and denied at planning and zoning.
It is. So I mean, this is what was in the packet.
It has been changed multiple times.
What was denied, from my understanding, at planning and zoning did not give access to the park and included some other amenities like a barbecue and a pavilion.
Oh, yeah, no, I did see that in there, about the gazebo and stuff, yeah.
Anyway, that's just a side note. But what, did I answer your question?
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
And that's all we had signed up.
Did
everybody get a chance to testify that wanted to? All right, very good. Ms. Stubb.
Again, Jane Suggs, WH Pacific, representing Kelleher number 2, now in the public hearing for the plat. So let me talk a little bit about some of the comments that were made, and I apologize again if I'm going to be repetitive because some of the testimony was as well. Right now, I think Mr. Burke talked about being in favor but wanting to make sure that people paid per family, and he talked about a possibility of adding an accessory dwelling unit to his house so that his mother-in-law or someone can move in. And the way the CCNRs are written for Chaparosa right now is you pay per lot, you don't pay per family. So this is what we would pay. We would pay per lot for the lots that we have in Kelleher number 2. Mr. Williams again talked a lot about the things that are happening right now. There's no apartments there now right in the subdivision. And I feel bad about those things, but they don't really have anything to do with the apartments. So, I feel like, actually, and this, I know there will be neighbors that disagree, but more eyeballs on a park typically make them safer, just like more eyeballs on a street make them safer. So when you have people living and looking at something, it typically makes it a safer place to live than if it is feels like it's dark and no one's watching.
I'm sorry. I'm the only eyeball there.
We can't. I'm sorry, we can't do this.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Wainwright talked about representing a lot of people that don't want to this to happen, but really, I believe the council has really kind of gotten to the gist of it. What is it exactly that causes you not to want it? And it, is it because it's apartments? Because certainly residents of multifamily, they bring the people in that bring the commercial uses in. So one of the things that you, of course, have found out in CUNA is you can't get necessarily commercial uses until you have rooftops and people. And when you bring that commercial in, that's when your tax values and your tax revenues can actually increase. So we think this mix of housing, single family and multifamily housing, are what works for every city and for CUNA. I think we've talked enough about the traffic, knowing that this is the same number of houses that could be have one entrance and access, entrance and off of a street. This is something that ACHD generally goes by, and even your safety people go by, that they will allow approximately 30 homes, single family homes, with one access. So the 32 units for this is not a stretch at all. It seems like we're making up a lot of scenarios about what could happen if. And I think what we need to get back to, and as you clearly have shown, that we are meeting the code and we are meeting the comprehensive plan and we are meeting the design review requirements. So I appreciate your kind of focus on that, because that is truly what we're trying to do. And I did attend the comprehensive plan meetings for developers and developer representatives, and I do appreciate, as you're going through that change, and how difficult that is, because I've worked through the same thing with the city of Boise and in Meridian, just to kind of follow that, because we want to be part of the community. This is what I do for a living, is I try to make sure that what I'm bringing to your community is the thing that will be a good addition to your community. Let's see. Joanne had talked about, and I really agree, people need to care about each other, and there is no reason to think that these apartments won't have families that care about where they live, that care for the park. They are not any really different from anybody else who lives in CUNA. I think that, just as most of us did, we lived in apartments at some point in our lives. And so this is a great opportunity to bring people into your fair city that might not be able to purchase a home or rent a home right now, a single family home. And I have met with the HOA. Wendy talked about that. We met. I had a neighborhood meeting. We talked on the phone some. I met with the Homeowners Association during one of their annual meetings. Since the last P&Z meeting, I met again with Wendy and Tim and Tara, the president of the HOA, to talk about what our next steps would be. So I feel like I've been open to some communication. Unfortunately, as you see from some of the neighbors' testimony, that HOA is not really cohesive in a way that I feel like we can develop any type of separate agreement, or keep deferring this until we get to some separate agreement. And that's a separate private agreement that the city typically doesn't get involved in, is going out and asking people to come up with something, especially to entities where you have actually the management company and the board saying they don't want the project to happen. So really hard to come up with some agreement when you have testimony saying they don't want that. Tim was talking about the bus stops, and I just finished working on a project, some of you may remember, just down Hubbard Road near the canal. And I was really concerned about the buses and talked to the bus folks, and they like to stop right in the middle of the street. They don't like to pull over. I've chatted with bus systems and several jurisdictions, and they don't like to pull over because they can't get back into the traffic. So when you see kids standing and the bus stops in the middle of Linder Road or the middle of Hubbard Road, that's exactly what safety requires them to do. So the multiple bus stops in this, we're lucky that we have a sidewalk and a big buffer area for the kids to hang out in. So but that's kind of just sharing my education about why the buses don't pull out. Why can't we add a pullout? Because they don't use it. Again, thank you for looking at your code and your comprehensive plan, because I do feel like that, I think Helen Wolf-Graham said this probably best, I don't see a way to say no. I'm hoping you'll not agree with that, but I do think that there are places in the code and places in your comprehensive plan where there could be some changes, and look forward to working with the staff on those things. I respectfully request, I believe in knowing what was expected during the rezone, I think in knowing what we've been through to meet the codes and the comprehensive plan, and doing our best to reduce the density from the 9 fourplexes to the 8, addressing all the staff requirements, I again very much ask you to approve of our subdivision and also to approve of our design review by agreeing that to uphold our appeal. So if there is a possibility of making those decisions tonight, we would really appreciate that. I don't know that any delay, if there's any information I can provide you, I would be happy to do that. I don't know that a delay would actually bring any more new information to you that would change the idea that we have met all the requirements of your code. So thank you very much. Okay. I can stand for questions.
Question for
No.
Okay, thank you. So again, if you want to hear some more testimony, we probably don't want to close the public hearing.
I guess I have a question for council. How appropriate or inappropriate would it be for us to try to get into a discussion about the HOA issue and trying to like broker something there? Is that something that we should stay totally out of, or?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, again, Bill Gategrave III. Thank you, Council Mr. Pearson.
Paying attention.
In response to your question, HOAs, in my mind, are specific jurisdictions. They are agreements by property owners with regards to the owners of those property owners that are covered by those HOA mm-hmm. to abide by certain terms and conditions of an agreement. Now, if the HOA is a requirement of a city approval by some prior action, it may have some relevance with regards to the play out of that HOA and its jurisdiction over future development within that area that was approved before. Without reviewing the HOA specific provisions in the history of the city, at prior actions of approval, there's no way of really knowing how relevant that is. You do have the authority in a subdivision process to continue a hearing and ask for additional information on matters and bring it back for further study. If you wanted to encourage some kind of dialogue between the developer and property owners, it strikes me that there ought to be some very specific issues that dialogue would be tied to, or it could be a free-for-all. And in my mind, likely to be a waste of everybody's time and increase aggravations. And I just say that based on many years of experience with these kind of matters in the past. I think well-defined issues that are addressed by people of good conscience that want to address those issues can end up in some results, but broad brushstrokes are difficult for anybody to deal with. I don't know if I've answered your question, but
I think so. I was trying to decide if it made sense to try to, like, hash anything out right now just to, like, try to get everybody more on the same page or whatever, or if that was, like, totally outside of my purview.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, in my mind, if you wanted to hash everything out that I've heard in this hearing, you may be your here for quite a while. And I don't know how in the world you would.
You don't know how good. No, I'm just kidding.
And I don't know whether you want to endeavor in that. I think that if you go that direction, I think you would want to table this for a time certain for continuance, and that you would want to have those issues addressed with staff and then come back and take more testimony. In my opinion, subdivision jurisdiction under your code, which is similar to many other codes that I'm aware of, and this is a short plat as I understand it because it's preliminary and final at the same time because it's less than 10 parcels, is really designed to how you divide up property and how it's sold by lots rather than by meets and bounds descriptions, or it's lots within a prior larger lot. And it's usually tied to a lot of standards that are in your subdivision ordinances, and whether or not the division meets those standards or doesn't meet those standards with regards to issues over density and land use. It seems to me that that's generally under zoning ordinances and conditional use permits and issues associated with that. And then design review, of course, is whether the design of whatever is going to be built meets your standards, so that's even another issue. So I think you have to keep in mind, if you're going to table this, if you're going to ask for some further dialogue and then open it back up, what issues do you want addressed in what proceeding? In the zoning proceeding, excuse me, in the subdivision proceeding, or in the design review proceeding?
Okay.
That's good.
Any other questions?
No, but I reserve the right to ask more later. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, the packet is huge. I'm trying to get to the page I want.
Well, it's been a lot to take in, so I mean, it's certainly appropriate if council would rather table the issue to have a little time to look into it a little further and give it some more thought. That's certainly reasonable, or if you're comfortable with all the meeting of codes and requirements, we can move forward, whatever is the pleasure of the council.
I feel like I can make a decision. What do you guys?
Yeah. Warren?
I don't know, from a design standpoint, maybe it's appropriate just to ask the third there some questions as to what.
Yes, council.
Council, if I might. And this is really in respect to the legalities from the side of the design side and then from the zoning side. Because we talk about the design side on this, something I haven't had to deal with. I can't speak for the council members that have been here longer and the mayor. You look at the verbiage in the KCC 5.4 Design Review Overlay District Guidelines. It talks about site design objectives, site landscaping. Does the site plan design minimize the impact of traffic on adjacent streets, provide for safe pedestrian access and use, and provide appropriate safe vehicle parking? The answer to that has to be yes, just based on what ACHD said, right? Or is a design overlay review a mindset of, does it truly minimize impact on traffic in adjacent streets? Now, that's not a question I need you to answer, but from my observation. And then site landscaping, does it minimize the impact on adjacent properties through the proper use of screening with sound and site buffers? I look at pictures right now, and I see these homes. She mentioned 50 feet away, 61 feet away, or 65. You look at the landscaping portion of it. You get three trees up in the corner there. It's not going to do anything from a landscaping side to minimize the impact on those adjacent properties. So when I look at a design review,
is it within my right to look at that and say, no, it doesn't fit those specifications, and then talk about what to do next with that? Or is it based on the fact that ACHD has come to us and said, traffic's not a concern? Oh, okay, traffic's not a concern. We can't use that. Am I formulating a question that makes any sense whatsoever? Anybody?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, if I answered that it doesn't, I would be held in contempt. So I tease it. And again, Bill Gaygrave III, I'd say de facto counsel for the city council this evening. Your question is relative to the hearing which you've recessed, which is a design review hearing, not the subdivision hearing.
Correct.
Which I understand we're presently in, just so it's clear what I'm trying to address here. In my opinion, you have the ability to make a finding of fact based on your design criteria and based on the evidence before you as to whether or not the proposal meets or does not meet your standards. ACHD's position and their staff report is a piece of the facts that you have to consider. Remember, at my understanding, and I do represent highway districts, I don't represent ACHD, and I represent highway districts in Canyon County, they have the authority over public roads that are secondary roads within the county. Those are roads not under the jurisdiction of the State Department of Transportation. And so their responsibility is maintenance, design, access to issues with regards to those roads. So in this instance, the access of the subject property to one of their roads, of course, would be a main concern. It sounds as if your standards go beyond just access to a road. They go to issues of visibility and screening and other things. So those are issues which I would think you would be looking at the facts of the particular case as to whether or not you believe those facts support that they meet the standards or the facts support that they don't meet the standards. And as long as I'm up here with regards to the first hearing, if you find that the Planning and Zoning Commission failed to state reasons why it didn't meet the standards, this is procedural, and I'm just giving advice about procedure. I do think you have the ability to grant the appeal, but yet you could still deny the application on the design review based on findings that you make that it doesn't meet the standard, but you'll have to make findings as to where it does or where it doesn't meet the standard. If you find it does, then I think you have to grant it.
That makes sense.
Did that answer your question?
It did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
So I don't know if we need to close a public hearing. Please just interrupt if I end up like talking about the one that I'm not supposed to be talking about. But I was just going to say, with regard to the design review, you know, it mentions about the landscape minimizing the impact on adjacent properties. I think we've talked about this before, Warren, where it's like that's one of the areas where we have a little wiggle room where, like, we can say put more trees or make sure the trees you install are of a certain caliper or of a certain height already when they go in and that sort of thing. So some of that stuff is what's giving you angst about the design review thing. I mean, that would be an easy way to articulate, you know, how you think it doesn't meet it and specific action items that they could meet or that we could make as, I presume, a condition of approval of the design review application, so it wouldn't be like a denial. It'd be a conditional approval, assuming that they incorporate certain things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
It does.
Well, we both feel like we're okay with making a decision tonight. I mean, we can postpone it, and we would just be really clear about whether we're taking additional testimony next time or not, so people know whether, you know, if you want to show up just to hear a decision or whatever, but so you guys don't show up thinking, you know, we're taking testimony or we're not, we'll be clear about that.
I don't know. I feel like I need more time to look at that, understanding the design side a little bit more because it's in our shoes now. I mean, if we can table it and get back to it, that would be beneficial for the decision that I have to make on this.
Okay.
And do you want to continue the public hearing portion, take testimony, or do you want to?
I don't think it's necessary to have a public hearing just based on everything we heard tonight.
Okay.
It would be more of a some time instead of me sitting here kind of staring at the floor going, okay, what do I need to ask next kind of thing, to be able to look at some of the details a little bit more in that respect.
Okay. So just step in if I'm doing anything wrong. But so I think we need to close the current public hearing. Then we need to close the hearing that we recessed. And then we would, I would go ahead and at that point make a motion to table the decision on both of these things until the next meeting, at which time a decision will be rendered, no testimony will be received. Yeah? Yeah. All right. Then I move we close the public hearing for... I'm not on the right one. Hang on. 1801 CPF, yes.
Excuse me.
Yes,
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, it'd be my recommendation that in both instances, what I've heard, that you really would be recessing both of these public hearings, and then you would continue them to a time certain for the sole purpose of deliberation and not to receive additional evidence. You don't really close the hearings. You recess them and then you reconvene them.
Okay.
That would be my recommendation.
That is a helpful. That's helpful.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion rescinded. I move we recess the public hearing for case number 1801 CPF until the October 2nd council meeting, at which time deliberation will continue, but no additional testimony will be received.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to recess the public hearing of 18-01 CPF until the October 2nd meeting, where it will be specific to deliberation and no public testimony will be taken. Is there any further discussion?
October 2nd was in the minutes. Do I need to give a time to? 6 p.m. Amend my motion to state 6 p.m., please. Thank you.
So at 6 p.m. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
I then also move that we recess the public hearing for case numbers 1801A and 1812DR. Until the October 2nd council meeting at 6 p.m., at which time deliberation will occur, but no further testimony will be received.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to recess 18-01-A and 18-12-DR to the October 2nd meeting, 6 p.m., where no more testimony will be taken, but is for solely for deliberation. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Thank you very much.
I just want to thank everybody for showing up. You'd be surprised how many public hearings we have, and nobody's here at all. And so even if you're frustrated with the process, I just thank you so much for showing up, for giving us your feedback. Even if it doesn't end up in the result that you are hoping for this time, please trust and believe that it does make an impact on how we're changing the comp plan and things like that. So thank you for being involved, and please continue to be. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Item C, public hearing and consideration to approve a modification of the development agreement for Spring Hill.
You guys didn't cover it, but what can I say? Quick question.
No, we can't. We've closed it off, so we can't.
Well, it's not.
Is it about the specific application or more global?
Well, it's more so about the application. The only question I have was, just because an party meets the requirement, does that mean you
we go up to the mic?
Yeah, go ahead and go to the mic.
Okay. Just because, name's Terry Williams again, 580 East Sienna Creek. Just because, not necessarily this particular outfit, but anybody. Okay, they meet the criteria of a building code and planning and zoning and everything else. Does that automatically mean that you have to approve it? Or do you guys have the option of saying, no, we changed our mind. We're not going to put anything in there right now.
So we have very little leeway there. It's kind of like saying that the speed limit's 55, but we don't care if you go 57. But if you go 57, we're giving you a ticket. You have to follow the law and the way it's written, and that's, you know,
or
it's kind of the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, or state another way, if you filled out your taxes, like, pursuant to the rules, you sent them in, and then when we received them, we said, you know what, actually, we want you to do it a different way. We don't like that way anymore. Or a phrase that I use sometimes is, like, changing the rules mid-game. Like, if we've laid out what the rules are, and they go and do a whole application based on what we told them, here's what you have to do if you want to build whatever you're trying to build.
Right.
So they go and they plan everything according to just that, and then they bring it back to us and they say, okay, we did just what you said.
You guys have to say yes.
It's like, it would be difficult for us to justify saying, no, you can't do that now, if they've done everything we've told them they can do, that we want them to do. Does that make sense? So that's why I was asking, like, give me something that I can hold on to in terms of, like, is there somewhere that this is violating code or this doesn't comply with the comp plan? You know, make an argument for why it doesn't meet the goals of the comp plan or something like that. Because those are the things that we have to consider, is city code, state law, and the comp plan. We've had that happen before, but I mean, if the reason that they sign a petition, so frequently the last petition I saw, not for this, was not useful because it just said, like, we oppose, you know, this.
A-B-A.
Yeah, and it's just, like, it's so broad. It's like, I have no way of knowing why any single person who signed this opposed it, so it's not helpful. But if the reason, like, if it is much more specific, but the reason that everybody's signing it is because, like with one we'd seen before, it's like, oh, it's because it's all going to be criminals that move in here or whatever. That's considered a discriminatory reason, and we're not allowed to, like, make that assumption. It's all going to be, you know, poor people or whatever. But those aren't things that we can consider. But if it's some, like, yeah. So, I mean, it's challenging.
Well, not that it's going to happen, but what if it does? Then what is it y'all going to do? I mean, if it does go the bad way, if it does increase crime, if it does turn into a slum, whatever you want to call it, then
we have to allow and rely on code enforcement and our law enforcement to deal with those issues.
And actually,
code enforcement works hand in hand with law enforcement. So, you know, not everything works in the way we want it to. But
so I have. My name's Chris Wainwright, and I live in the subdivision. I actually have two questions for the council and the mayor. One is, what recourse would the homeowners have in the event that the approved design review isn't installed as it's approved?
You come back to the city, because it's something that we would have required, like, it's city requirements that they're agreeing to do, so you could come back to the city.
And then the second question I have is, we had a gentleman here testify that the average property loss for this type of scenario would be 14%. Who would we as homeowners then be able to petition to get a reduction in our taxable value?
So we can't give you private legal advice, first of all. But secondly, I have trouble accepting that as, like, something that I would base a decision on. Go ahead. Yes. Thank you for stopping me.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And you can also find as many studies that refute that and say your property values go up as you can find that say your property values go down. So that's really hard to prove.
Right, right. So. But I have to go worst case scenario. I mean, after six years in the Marines, I have to have plan A, plan B.
And thank you.
And thank you, yes.
Thank you.
All right.
But yeah, I need a contingency plan because I don't want this to go bad. I want something positive from this. I just don't see it that it's this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, item C, public hearing and consideration to approve a modification of the development agreement for Spring Hill.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
And members of the council, Bill Gatgrave III again. My recommendation that you would put on the record at this point in time that the last two speakers that asked questions of the council will not be considered by this council in any way with regards to the merits of the pending matter that was just before you that you had the public hearing, because it involved some of the same people. I believe the questions were generic questions, not about the specific thing, but I think if you it'd be clear that we put on the record that you will not consider any of that conversation in your deliberations.
Sufficient for me to say so noted, or do I need to restate what you said?
I think it's just a matter of maybe having approval of the council, Mr. Mayor, so that it's included in the minutes of this council meeting.
Okay. So just vocal consent from everybody or a vote?
Yeah, so I think that is a good point. So the last two people that testified were speaking to generic questions of procedures for council and what our abilities are to approve and deny. And none of the things that they had questioned or talked to us about there will be used as for consideration in the public hearings that we have just heard, items A and B.
Yes, agreed.
Everybody agreed with that?
And everybody agreed. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Public hearing and consideration to approve a modification of the development agreement for Spring Hill 06-11-DA. Wendy Howell.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. I'll just sum this up really quickly, assuming that you had read the memo. The DA, the purpose for the request to release the DA is that all the conditions for the development have either been fulfilled or were incorporated into the new preliminary plat and modified through the public hearing process.
Okay, so we need to have a public hearing about it, though. Is that right? Or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, is there any
Thank you, Wendy.
Questions for Wendy about that?
No.
Okay. This is a public hearing. I don't have anyone signed up to testify. I do have a couple of people that signed up that were neutral on the issue and didn't want to testify. So is there anybody who wishes to testify who didn't get a chance to sign up in the matter of the Spring Hill development agreement? Okay. So as a matter of procedure, we'll go ahead and open the public hearing for the case name of the Spring Hill subdivision and releasing the development agreement. And so I'll ask one more time, is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify? Seeing none.
I move we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing on the Spring Hill subdivision releasing the development agreement. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. And the question is rightfully before council.
We approve a modification of the development agreement 0611DA.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the modification of the development agreement 06-11-DA. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Thank you.
Mayor, what do you feel about a 5-minute bathroom break?
Okay. Call the meeting back.
And we're back.
7A, Domestic Violence Awareness Month Proclamation. Whereas domestic violence is defined as abusive behavior in personal relationship that gives one member control and power over another through physical, emotional, sexual, economic, and physiological actions and threats. And whereas an estimated 1 in 4 women will face domestic abuse in her lifetime, and in 2016 there were 5,236 calls for service related to domestic violence and sexual assault in Ada County. And whereas each day in Idaho, more than 559 victims of domestic violence and their children seek safety, and whereas and services from domestic violence programs in Idaho. And whereas the Women and Children's Alliance provides safety, healing, and freedom from domestic abuse and sexual assault through a range of services, including secure shelters, court advocacy, counseling, child care, as well as case management. And whereas the City of Cuna is an important partner in the Women and Children's Alliance vision to create a community where people thrive in safe and healthy relationships, now therefore be it resolved that I, Joel Steer, Mayor of the City of Cuna, Idaho, do hereby join national and local officials in proclaiming October as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I don't know how many people have ever had any dealings with the Women and Children's Alliance in Boise, but it's a really good program. They've mm-hmm. helped a lot of people. So.
Yeah. thought you were going to give us a story about it. Anyway.
All right, 7B, approval to expend up to $6,000 of park impact fee funds. Bobby Withrow.
No, I was just getting ready for this.
Figured that out.
Mayor Council, I'm asking for approval to spend up to $6,000 on appraisals for some land we're looking at to add to our park system. The park impact fee committee they all voted yes, and I needed to bring it in front of council to move forward with the appraisals. I'm open for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Bobby.
Where are these properties located?
Yes. I don't want to disclose their locations at this time.
Okay.
I move we approve the expenditure of up to $6,000 for the purpose of getting potential properties appraised so the city can expand its park system to keep up with the current growth.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the expenditure of up to $6,000 for the park impact fee funds. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Consideration to approve resolution number R75-2018, Wendy Howell, Planning and Zoning Director.
I had a whole speech written up for this, and it's still on my computer.
Yeah, right.
So I'll just stand for questions.
Yeah, so this is, I believe, what we were talking about before, about some additional things that Agnew Beck would do in addition to help us complete our comprehensive plan, and so that was they actually provided us with something that asked for, I don't remember what it was, 20-something thousand.
Yeah, it looks
20,466.
And so we just picked out the ones we thought would be most beneficial, and that's where we're at with that.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. As a side note, aren't we overdue for another meeting?
We're getting really close. We're going through all the chapters right now and editing them.
Okay.
I think we have one more large chapter that we haven't received, and then I think we're real close to being done.
Okay, and that's
for
one of the like public meetings?
Yeah.
Perfect,
yeah.
Okay. I move we approve resolution number R75-2018.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution number R75-2018. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item D is consideration to approve resolution number R76-2018, This is a resolution of the City Council of CUNA, Idaho, setting forth certain purposes, approving and authorizing the mayor and city clerk to execute on behalf of the City Council that certain agreement entitled the Agreement for Interim Civil Legal Services, directing that the city clerk and setting an effective date. And this is actually where Bill and Bill come in, and we really appreciate what you did earlier, but I mean, it's just, it's nice to have that input here. So what this is basically is, while we are in the interim of not having legal service here, things pop up, so we need to be able to bring those to somebody. And so this is actually a trial basis. We'll get things going. They can see what we need. We can see what we need, and we can decide then what we want to do for contract services beyond that.
Sounds good.
If that's the way we go.
I've appreciated your counsel tonight very much, especially having just jumped in today. So thank you very, very, very much. Yes, it's been very appreciated and very wise counsel as well.
Thank you. Just for the record, Bill Gigray III. I'd like to introduce Bill Punkany, and he's been with our firm for a number of years and actually started as an intern with me when he was going to the College of Idaho, which is more years ago. I think we both had more hair than maybe less on
it's
the
overrated.
Face.
It's right?
And he is another one who will in our office who would be he and I would be probably the point people we have, as I've listed in this draft agreement, other people with considerable municipal experience, Matt Johnson being another, Bill Nichols. And my experience goes back into the mid-70s, 1970s, not the 1870s. we are delighted to have this opportunity. If you have any questions about us or our background and experience, certainly I'm more than happy to field those if you have any. I believe the mayor and Councilman McPherson have probably seen me in operation before. So, and this is called interim legal services, so that's really what this is. This agreement provides for 14 days advance notice, and the way we work with councils and our municipal clients, any client, if they don't want our services, we're out of there pretty quick.
Well, I looked over the agreement. It looks fine to me. So I move we approve resolution number R-76-2018.
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you. Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution R-76-2018. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 8A, consideration to approve ordinance number 2018-34, an ordinance of the City of CUNA, Idaho, annexing the north 300-foot parcel of S13141-20890 and referred to as the PISTEM Academy, which is owned by PISA Land Holdings, LLC, into the CUNA Municipal Irrigation District from the Boise CUNA Irrigation District, thus changing the boundary of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation District, declaring water rights pertinent thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded as provided by law, and providing an effective date. This is kind of the same as we normally do on irrigation.
Yes. I move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2018-34.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to waive the three readings of Ordinance number 2018-34. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve Ordinance 2018-34.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve Ordinance number 2018-34. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin-Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Thank you. That brings us to Mayor and Council announcements. I just want to take a moment and thank Brianna and her husband Steve for hosting the mayor's table event this last weekend when I wasn't quite up to it again yet. So Marisa and I were sad that we missed it this year, but I appreciate you doing that for us. So.
Absolutely.
Glad you're better.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Better-ish.
And also then I would like to also mention the fact that when I'm here, I don't have to worry too much about the way things are going on in the city because we have an amazing staff that really steps up and does the things that need done. And I also want to thank Brianna again for she's stepped up and offered to take my place in wherever it needed to happen. So I appreciate that very much.
But, of course. It
makes me feel good to know that we cover each other.
Yeah.
Did anybody else have anything you wanted to talk about?
No.
Okay.
Are we doing a sec?
Yeah.
I move we adjourn to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code 74206-1B and F.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to adjourn to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code Section 74-206-1B and F. We need, you want both of you to stay? Is that okay? So Bill Punkney and Bill Gigray, who else we need?